If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Biz. That's right, and despite being only 13% of the turkey, the dark meat accounts for over 50% of the flavor and fatty, juicy goodness of the bird.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
Can I just say something?
Are still being born with the right stuff.
Jewish apocalypse.
Now you may say something.
Okay, I don't really like turkey, and I never have. I'm like very meh about turkey.
No one likes turkey, but I did like that intro. How long were you sitting on that?
Oh, I've been saying that since like yesterday.
I figured as much, yeah. Yeah. I don't like turkey, so I didn't have turkey.
I like that spiral ham shit, though. That honeyed ham is good.
Honeyed ham is good. But I had a lemon garlic chicken.
What?
Yeah. You know what? It was freaking delicious. Better than any turkey.
Progressive.
It's very progressive.
I bet it was. I mean, turkey's just...
That's meh.
I don't want to counter signal tradition, but...
The tradition is a bird in the oven.
I mean,
we're good with that.
Why can't we put like honey garlic in the turkey? Would it really be that bad?
I don't know. Lemon garlic.
I'm sorry.
Does lemon and garlic go with turkey as well as it goes with chicken?
No, you don't get to do with the turkey. The other thing
is when people make turkey, it's always dry, right?
Like, it's always dry.
Yeah. The shit has no moisture and you gotta put a bunch of fucking seasoning on it.
You gotta deep fry it. You gotta turn your backyard into like a fucking danger zone. You gotta get a vat of fucking oil and just dunk that in there and hope it doesn't explode in your face, and then then you got a good bird.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure that you have like eye protection, face protection, in case there's still some frozen parts in that turkey that will literally explode when they hit the hot oil. Yeah. But make sure that thing is totally thawed, or else your sears are looking at a literal explosion. I've seen it happen. It's pretty funny, but it's like it's literally like flying like hot oily shards of turkey and setting your house
on
fire.
That's enough Fed posting.
It's like, Your Honor, the man had a boiling hot vat of oil and a frozen turkey in his van. We believe he was headed towards the Federal Reserve Building.
Yes. In a framed photo. He had a framed bust of Hitler in his...
Look, this man had a deep fryer of frozen turkey and a picture of Hitler in his home. We're going to have to put him away for at least 10 years.
That's it.
Yeah.
I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. It was good.
Weapon of mass tryptophan.
You know the
I like that.
Damn.
You all right there? What's going on?
First show title. There'll be many more.
And of course, it was sitting on it. It was on my ace.
Yeah. Alex doesn't know the meme because he doesn't do prep in the car with us, but the show title today is Black Pill Friday. It's a bait and switch. It's clickbait.
It's going to be a happy show.
Yeah, we want everyone to show up and just think like we're going to like do...
Kermit
the Frog, arms flailing. But we are actually going to... Looking at some of the news items, I think we are going to black pill.
There might be some black pills, but I'm actually not totally black pill. But anyway,
I haven't loaded up the song.
I'm not done talking about turkey yet.
Oh wait, no, I don't want to shift away from Thanksgiving yet either. Let's do it. Let's talk about turkey.
Well, when you do have turkey, A, you say it's always overcooked, it's always dry. That's when you're cooking in the oven. There's no way not to have it be dry. And the only thing you can do at that point, and what I always did in Thanksgiving's past,
is gravy.
Just drown it in gravy and salt. That's it. There's no other option. It's the only way to make it palatable.
That's what the gravy's for.
Yeah.
Like, turkey's, like, inedible.
It's
unless
inedible.
You're eating that dark meat. The dark meat is fucking good.
The other thing is...
I don't care what anybody
you
says.
You want to know what the grossest thing is?
Mm-hmm.
Is cold, thickly sliced slabs of turkey the next day?
Yes.
Fucking disgusting.
We had,
my dad used to always... When I was a kid...
To it.
Just making a sandwich out of
when
it?
When I was a kid, my dad would make a sandwich out of it, and he put the stuffing, and he put the big white...
I hate the texture. Like, you see that stringiness sticking out? Like, the little ends?
He'd always make me one, like he'd done me a favor.
Like a slightly frayed like piece of wool, the edge of it, and then you like try to cut it off, and then that's what the turkey looks like. It's like, oh.
He'd always make me the sandwich when he was making one, and he'd bring it to me for lunch the next day. He did me a favor. I'm like, Dad.
Dad, please.
Can I have a hamburger?
He put cranberry sauce on it too. So like this cold.
Well, no, that was
this cold, flaccid, stuffy, fucking.
You usually put stuffing in, you'd be like, want me to heat it up? I'm like, putting it in the microwave is gonna just make it
just
worse.
Make it even more
just
rubbery.
Compounding the problem.
Now it's gonna be rubbery.
Like, it's just
it's
terrible.
Yeah, my wife is like, since we went to my mudders, so she did all. My wife's like, I kind of want to make a turkey so we can have sandwiches and stuff. I'm like, oh God, oh what a shame that we don't have any. We're not gonna have any sandwiches of leftover. Oh geez, it's too bad that we're going to my mudders instead of you cooking. Because it's like nah. She has this recipe, this recipe, as I like to say, where you take the leftover turkey and you put it on like she makes like almost like a grilled cheese like toast up thing with Swiss. And you get the turkey, you get the Swiss, and you got pickles. Okay. And it's like still like the strong points of that recipe are the Swiss, the bread, and the pickles. It's like I could eat this without, or I could just get some nice slices of, or a chicken cutlet.
Mm.
Like give me something that's not leftover fucking Thanksgiving turkey to put on that sandwich, and I'll probably be okay with it. But I'm just like that stringy, kind of like reheated, dried out
disgusting
carcass. It's like,
and you know what I got in my fridge today? I've got half a lemon garlic chicken that I'm gonna heat that back up and you
sounds
know
good.
It
sounds
put,
good
and you know I got to put it in the and I was actually told by the person that cooked this for me that just actually mix it right in with the mashed potatoes.
Oh yeah, there you go.
And it's like this little mash thing, and it tastes beautiful. It tastes amazing. It's gonna be so good. A little dash of salt, and you're like, oof, forget about it. And so I'm actually looking forward to dinner tonight. It's gonna be great. It's not cold, stringy, disgusting slabs of turkey. It's going to be succulent, delicious leftovers of lemon garlic chicken.
I don't know what I'm having. I saw the crock pot up there. I don't know what I'm having, though.
Mm.
I'm always
you know what the worst thing is about that sandwich?
What's that?
That cold turkey sandwich is when you bite into it and there's a shard of bone in there.
You know what it is? I've in my life only bitten into it like a few times, and then when my dad's not looking, I just toss it.
Yeah,
I go get a hamburger or something. Like, go get like, forget about it. Like,
yeah, if I said, like, leftover pizza over here. Like,
yeah,
got,
exactly.
What else we got?
This is no good.
Maybe it's no good. Cheese,
I'll eat the PB&J. Leftover stuffing. That's okay. You heat that up.
Yeah, that's just
and
yeah.
That actually can sustain the microwave. It gets a little rubbery, but it still retains good flavor.
Well, he's got all the flavor in there.
Yeah, exactly.
All the flavor that should be in the turkey is in that stuffing. I think that's what happens. It's like it like sponges it out. Like if you've actually stuffed
turkey,
the bird.
Turkey
it.
Gravy isn't bad. You know,
turkey gravy is good.
Yeah. So basically, the part of the turkey you eat is like all the flavors are in other parts. It's in the stuffing or the gravy. And it's like, okay, why bother with the meat?
Because you need the protein. I mean, basically, it's just you're doing clean bulk. If you want to, you got to hit your macros. You know, if you're going to eat all these carbs and sugars, you got to make sure you get some protein.
I'll fucking slam that honey ham the next day, even cold, too. That shit is good.
That stuff's good.
Spiral honey ham. Even that's good for like 3 days. That stays good.
Now, if somebody really loves you, they don't buy the spiral ham. They just buy a ham and they fucking cut it themselves. Lazy bastards.
Fuck that.
A real ham is so much better.
I want
than a spiral
that
ham.
Thin
whatever, dude. Ham. Ham is good.
Have
no
you ever
what.
Had a ham that's not spiral cut?
Yes.
Pre-cut?
Yes.
It's so much juicier.
Yes.
So much. It's even better.
All right.
That's
all right.
What
I've had
into.
Both.
That's
I've
what I'm
both.
Into.
My dad always had this habit of cutting the meat really thick, though. So he gives you like this big slab. I'm like, Dad, can I have a thin slice, please? I just slice it myself because it was like, you're doing it all wrong, Dad. You think, and he thought he was always, the only thing he always thought he was doing you a favor. He's like, oh, get a nice thick,
thick
slice
of fucking ham.
I need more surface area.
You ever have too much ham in your mouth?
Where's my surface area?
Does it make you like...
I need my surface area.
But ham gives me that shake, like if I have too much like toothpaste in my mouth.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, as I swallow it, like...
No, no,
kind of
you need
you
to have
that?
Tight ham has
Is that
to be thinly
just me?
Sliced. There's like certain ways. Yes, I know what you're talking about. I don't get that, but I know the feeling.
You know that feel from like other things. I get that from ham. Too much ham in your mouth at
so
once.
Wait, you feel like you're... It's like too much toothpaste in your mouth.
Well, like the flavor triggers some kind of like.
Oh, okay. All right.
Some
I
kind
know.
Of wince.
I
like,
can't
like
I
a
can't,
full body like. Shutter.
I can't relate to that at all. I love ham.
It comes from like ham. It comes from very very spicy toothpaste. If too much in there, you go, wow. What was
actually,
that?
I can't relate to this at all.
This is like one of these things like where you go outside and the sun makes you sneeze. It's one of these weird things that like,
okay.
not everybody.
Or
has
like
that.
Me, where the sun makes me like wince.
Yeah, but if it actually makes you sneeze, like that's a high level. Of
that
sensitivity.
We were, you know who has that?
Me.
You
My
have
son.
That?
Yeah.
Horatio has that.
There's a term for it. I forgot what it is.
Horatio Carey, our pal.
Oh, they mean like Horatio Sands, that fat guy from Saturday Night Live.
No, what? No, our pal Horatio Carey. He has looking at the sun and sneezing problem.
Yeah. A lot of people have it.
It must be an Anglo
there's
thing.
There's a Wikipedia.
English.
There's a Wikipedia entry on it. I don't know if there's an Anglo angle to it. The Anglo angle. But
maybe everybody that has this fucking problem is English.
Autosomal compelling helio-ophthalmic outburst. Holy crap.
Wow. Show title. Show-
I was going to say the same thing.
That would actually be a pretty fucking funny
show
title.
The photic sneeze reflex is the better way of saying that.
That's what
that's,
well,
a,
that,
fucking, that's a fucking troll. That's a troll. This, the
photo reflex is better. Is much better.
The
way
is at you. But, I mean, it's a real thing.
Oh, that's sure a, that's a were, fucking troll then. But that's really funny.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a troll until I walk outside.
It's an official thing
they
call it, but the dude that called it that was clearly trolling.
Yeah.
And now it's like the term for the condition is literally that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's not really an emergency condition.
Try hard.
It's sort of like there's bigger problems, bigger health. I mean, when you're talking about a healthcare system, like it's not addressing this problem. But it's,
did you like what I said to our friend yesterday, Alex? Like, what's the matter? You don't like our healthcare system? Start your own. Compete with it if you got a problem. You got a problem with the way our healthcare is run, the way the profit went? Well, you can get together, you can compete with it. Start your own healthcare system.
That whole argument.
Found your own hospital.
It's fucking bullshit.
Create your own basket of federal fucking regulations that prevent you from doing anything.
Yes, yes.
Lobby your own congressman.
I do. I have no power to lobby other than to make phone calls.
Oh, you ought to cry that you can't outcompete the system, can you? Wow, sounds like your problem, pal.
Yeah, you can't outcompete the system. That means you lose.
You want to try to externalize your ineptitude?
Yeah,
you
lost, a special.
You've lost the meritocracy. That's what it is. You've lost the meritocracy. All the people in charge are obviously by this logical method of looking at society. By this sort of everybody that's in charge is exactly where they should be. Because if you can't critique any system under this model, because hey, look, you can't do better than they're doing, so you have no right to complain about literally anything. It's like you don't like it, make your own.
It's like a weird like dystopian take on like Pangloss.
It's literally
like this
the
is literally
problem
like,
is,
everything is everything is as it should be, and it couldn't be possibly be better. Otherwise, it would be.
Yeah, otherwise it wouldn't be. But like literally, I actually, you know, when. You know what's funny? I actually came up with this. This is actually one of the things that broke me from libertarianism.
What's
because
that?
I was like, I extended the libertarian concept of if you don't like it, make your own.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't, then you're being outcompeted to like government, because they always wanted to say like we should have these private insurance companies or something instead of government. And I'm like, well, the government just outcompeted them all. and so like literally I was like you could I did the reductio ad absurdum on it and I was like okay you can't
that's my favorite reductio
you cannot it's the best reductio and I'm like you cannot criticize anything now like because anything if you can't do it better and by the way you do it better is by doing it and beating the people doing it so clearly you can't do it better because otherwise you would be so shut the fuck up
and stop whining
and it literally and applies about the state to
monopoly.
Anything
stop whining about the monopoly on violence back and like how did they get the monopoly on violence
because they were really good at it.
They outviolenced everybody else.
They outviolenced everyone else. So
basically
if they have the monopoly on violence it's because they're the best at it and they are the best at it.
And if you don't like it compete with
and them. You know what happens when they stop being the
I
best
wouldn't
at
compete
it?
With it but that's
I don't even
think.
Want to compete at it because competing on it means you die.
Yeah.
But the other thing is when they stop being the best at it, like they actually will go down.
Yes.
You know,
when they stop being the
when
best
when they
at
stop
it.
Being the best at organized violence, they will go down because that is actually the ultimate backstop. And so if as soon as they can be challenged.
And this is and what's so funny is so I want to jump in. I'm sorry Alex, to cut you off, but that just gave me a big think. All right. The same people that say this kind of stuff. The shitlibs and stuff, who will do these kind of things. They, at the same time, want this monopoly on violence that they can't stand. They created these horrible
things. I don't
think
shitlibs really complain about monopoly on violence, do they? Libertarians do. You shitlibs?
No.
Shitlibs don't talk about the government
right,
like that.
Conflating two
shitlibs
things.
Actually don't like the idea that when you say that. Because they want to think of the government as like
something
this,
else.
As like this thing that we all like.
Yeah, well, that would be why I was about to say that.
Shitlibs
like
don't like this monopoly on violence talk. They don't like it at all.
But they do like. But they like.
They like the results of it.
They
like
the thing. They support it because they want to take all your guns.
They don't
away.
Like the talk of it.
The reason they want to take all your guns away is so that monopoly is
absolute.
Is absolute. Yes.
But they also they don't like to talk of monopoly on violence because they want to believe all their fucking
this
happy
is,
flowery
it's all,
fucking
this is all
up your butt bullshit. It's all sunny butt stuff and like everyone loves like farting in each other's mouths and it's great and democracy is fantastic.
Jesus Christ!
Well, that's what democracy is. But like,
let my kids down here.
Sorry,
that's what they're watching like Captain Underpants talking about farts all day.
Sorry. But I mean, no, it's like literally liberals want you to believe that like everything is sunshine and farts, and like it's like everyone's,
wow.
or everyone's farting sunshine is what I meant to say.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Everyone's farting sunshine and it's fucking beautiful and we all share in this
not
thing.
Not after Thanksgiving turkey tonight.
Yeah, oof, wow, oof. Oh boy, farting something else then. But I can't make fart jokes now. I thought, you were, I thought you were like disgusted with
me. No, I was looking at the, I'm always checking on all the things. Yeah, a lot of things I have to look at.
Okay, okay, fine, fine.
Even though everything works perfectly, I have to still stare at it to make sure
they
that it's
still
working.
They want you to believe that you chose this, that this is the best system, and because they run it.
Yeah.
And any system you run, you have an interest in not presenting the truth of how that system works to people. Any system you run or benefit from. So liberals don't know it, and a lot of liberals are just dumb. But they benefit from the system because ideologically they support it, and then you get that dopamine hit from supporting that which is winning. From supporting that which is in power, you feel empowered yourself. If what you like is empowered, then you feel empowered. So you don't want to think like, oh, this is ultimately backed by like all those cops in those black uniforms that can bust skulls with those truncheons and helmets.
Yeah, that those
you
are
don't
your
want
guys.
To think that ultimately those are your guys,
yeah.
right?
Because you like to say like those people are being oppressive.
Oh, those people
right
are fascists. No, those people, those are your guys. People. Those are your guys. I mean, I would like them to be my guys. The difference between you and me is I want them to be my guys.
Yeah, see, this is the thing I keep encountering in that group that I'm in with Alex. Where these people are still trying to fight this like principle battle, and I'm just like, no, I want to win.
Yeah, no.
Like I don't have these principles. Like the principle for me is winning. Like
the activist judges.
That's exactly what I said too.
When we were talking about,
I want my team to win.
Yeah, when we were
why am I going to hang myself with your ideological standard?
Because like when you're talking about Twitter bans,
well, they
basically you're talking about Twitter bans, and I'm saying that like Twitter is taking a ideological side. They're taking a side in the political discussion.
Yeah.
And they're enforcing it. This I want them to stop doing that because they're doing it to me. And it's like, well, you should just lobby them to leave you alone. It's like, no, I don't want them to leave me alone.
No, I want to use their platform.
I want to use their thing.
Yeah.
And I want the government to force them to let me use their thing.
Exactly.
Because they're not letting me right now. It's like, well, if you just abide by the rules, it wouldn't be an issue. It's like, no.
I do abide by the rules.
The rules are that I'm not allowed to make my political arguments.
Yeah. The rules are like literally my political arguments don't get made because if you make them, that's hate speech.
And that's like an argument not worth having because they're just like, well, I like that you're getting turned off.
I like the fact that your arguments are against the rules.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, let's get down to brass tacks here. It's like your side of the political discussion owns these platforms and is using it for its advantage. I want to do the same. I don't want fairness. I want to beat you up.
They also fundamentally know that if we were allowed to use these platforms freely, we would win.
Right.
We'd win the arguments.
Right. We do. Every time it's tried.
Every time. They hate the fact that we get to speak because when we speak, we beat them. On the field of speaking, which is one of the fields of play in politics. Obviously, it is. If it wasn't, then persuasion is one part of politics. It's not pure force. I mean, look, there's three ways you get somebody to do something you want, right? You pay them, you persuade them, or you force them.
Yep.
With a threat of force or the actual use of force. There's three ways. The government uses all three.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can only use one right now. We can possibly use two. We can possibly pay, but we just don't have much money. Right. So if we get more money, then we'll have more power. Because money, you can pay people to do what you want, right? So that's why we need more money. Not just us. I'm not saying just, shekel grabbing tier. No, not just us. Everyone, the whole thing that we're doing needs more money.
I want everyone in the world to have a PayPal and a Stripe, and there's nothing that they can do about it unless you're involved in some
that's
kind of organized crime racket.
And they know that if we can get money, then we can get more power because we'll have more money. They know people want to give us money. They know that if we can speak freely, we win because we win arguments.
Mm, because we don't
also,
pull punches.
Also, you know, frankly, if it ever came down to like a boxing match, our guys would probably beat the other guy. But we can't do that because that's not something we can do. We cannot play on that field.
That's contingent on numbers as well. Because in a small microcosm, it happens. But if you start looking
at
numbers,
300 against 20,
then it doesn't really matter how skinny and nerdy all the
300 are.
That's why they have to prevent that 20 from becoming.
Yes,
2,000.
Because if it becomes 2,000,
and spreading the word is how they get,
which is why Charlottesville freaked them the fuck out. But anyway.
But the other thing I was seeing, like these people that talk about, they're still trying to. It's funny to watch liberals who believe all this bullshit still just trying to hold you to your principles. If you're on the right,
it's not going to work anymore.
The only angle they have,
and it doesn't
still doing that shit.
It doesn't work. I saw one a while ago about Kavanaugh. The guy was pissing and moaning about Kavanaugh being on the court. He's calling, well, what don't the shit? We did this on Prep in the Car or privately.
We did this privately.
Okay, it was like...
But you still did it. Even we did it on Prep in the Car, who cares?
Okay, all right. But the guy was talking about, he's an activist judge. You people are supposed to hate activist judges. Like, no, we hate your activist judges. Like, now in this context, we need conservative activist judges to undo all the shit that your people did And I don't care. And like basically what's happened is for a certain portion of the people on the right, the myth, the illusion that the court is nonpartisan and non-ideological, like that's like I'm not recognizing that lie anymore. Like it's ideological and it's partisan, and I want my partisans and my ideologues on it running it, and I want them to outnumber yours so that you can't do shit anymore.
Well,
let me see, you know, because it's the thing. Like, and he's like calling it like it's been a dog whistle. Like, wasn't a dog whistle.
Well, that's the funniest activist, part. This is the funniest part with this guy.
Like,
right?
He calls activist judge has been a dog whistle on the right.
What is
for
dog
like,
whistle
I'm
for
like,
what?
A dog whistle for what? It just means for like leftist activists. Like,
this is the part where you're
I'm
expecting
like,
him to say Jew?
Yeah, no, and he didn't do it. I was expecting him to just, like, talk about Jews. Like, I was like, we'll go into this a little bit if you want.
On some level, it is a dog whistle for a Jew.
But this guy was not like woken up for that. He's just like, well, you just mean like leftist activists. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, that's been a plainly stated leftist activist judges. Like, you
that's
can
not
go
a dog
back,
whistle, Bill.
You can go like Rush Limbaugh talking about that for the last 30 fucking years.
And it's, he's right, and he was correct in what he was saying.
He was right. So, so, I mean, let's just talk about gay marriage for a minute.
Yeah, right? I mean, look, gay marriage is never voted on.
It loses. It lost to California.
That's what I mean.
It lost to California.
I meant it never won a vote, is what I should have said. It never won a vote. Nobody ever voted for it.
Actually, I think Vermont did.
Oh, really?
A long time ago, like Vermont got gay marriage, and I'm pretty sure it was by legit.
I think Massachusetts did too, and then gays were like going there. It's sort of like, okay, Massachusetts, go ahead and pass gay marriage in your state. And now be like literally all the faggots go there. Like I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. You be the Faggachusetts. You be the fag magnet.
It was never a dog whistle. Like God, I wish these judges would stop ruling according to their policy preferences and altering the law. Without it's like no, there was only one side of the thing doing it. And anytime our side did, I would cheer like yes, that's good.
So. Well, we never could do it because of the way the court was.
But in the middle
so
of that,
recently,
in
so.
The middle of that, the guy's like, "So you're admitting that Kavanaugh's an activist?" And I'm like, "I don't know if he
is. I don't
is.
Know if he is.
I'm
I
saying
hope
I hope he is."
Because
and he's like, "BTF," like he thinks that like I'm wrecked because of that. It's like, guy, I'm willing to like go as low as you now. Like that's the only difference.
That's what I don't get. And the thing is, like, in that argument is meaningless as far as greater politics. It just shows what kind of an asshole this guy is and what a moron he is. But it's like the fact that. He expects that to BTFO. See, the thing is,
that's
when you expect
to, like,
something to BTFO someone else, it wouldn't BTFO you because he wouldn't give a shit if you said that. And so it's like, it's not, we're not playing this game anymore. And this is, and on some level, like, we are still talking about
basically
Republicans,
I mean,
which are not even totally on the same page as us. But, like, if Republicans get this through their head, that alone is a big step forward.
And that's why I'm in there saying it.
Yeah.
For anybody that's in that group that's not like us, that's just still kind of a normie, like, they see me, like, this is how you deal with it. This is how this is how you shut them down and win. Like, stop with this principle. Because, like, a normie would have been flummoxed by that. A normie Republican would have been, like, wouldn't know what to say. Or would be, like, doing weird, like, dances and laps around what they actually mean.
Yeah, that's the thing. What usually would happen in that case is a not as bright... Not as woke normie
talking about the Constitution
Republican or right winger would have said something like no, these judges aren't activists, they're like originalists, or that's even too smart. They would have said like they're constitutionalists. That's what they would say.
Yes,
they're constitutionalists. They're going to go back to the Constitution because this is bullshit. What does the Constitution mean? What does the Constitution have to say about healthcare? Nothing. Literally zero. What does it have to say about gay marriage? Literally zero. So you make that shit up.
Yeah.
Right. That's all fucking made up.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, and so you can't, but that's what they would say, because that's what conservatives say when they do activism, is, it's the Constitution. So let's just fucking do what we want.
Yeah. You can't, the days of fighting the battle of, like, you know, you fight back. The best
also
defense
say
is
this.
A good offense.
I'll also
right?
say this.
Who saw their football yesterday during dinner? Come on.
I did not. But I'll say this. A lot of normie or shall we say, like, base level Republicans actually get this. If you say it to them, they'll like pick up on it immediately and understand it. But the people that won't do this are the Paul Ryans of the world.
Right.
And it's not because Paul Ryan actually believes in it. It's because he's a fucking paid shill. Paul Ryan's job is to lose.
Yeah.
His job is to get tax cuts. His job is to do things economically that a certain faction of the elite wants, like the Koch brothers and others like that.
We know who
the
real Jews are.
Right. So a certain fact, not the whole thing, because there's elites, if you will, there's very wealthy people that are progressives.
Right.
That they want more taxes and stuff like that, right? But there's some rich that want less, and they want, you know, and that's who Paul Ryan works for. And he will, he doesn't want to do anything socially because the people that pay him, the Paul Singers of the world, the Sheldon Adelsons, they don't want that stuff. They want, they like the progressive social agenda. They just want to keep all their fucking shekels. And they have other agendas as well. They want you to bomb Israel, whatever. So Paul Ryan, his job is to go out there and pretend like this is the most principled stance in the world to hold. And it's not. It's actually the least, one of the least principled stances. Paul Ryan is a complete scumbag because he doesn't do what the people want. And he betrayed the president. He was part of what was stymieing Donald Trump's ability to do what he wanted when he had a Congress and a presidency. And, like, Donald Trump has been mostly a failure, and Paul Ryan is does bear... I mean, we could go fully away all on Donald Trump, fine, but let's look at the reality. Paul Ryan was a big part of it.
Who do you think was
and
the
that
architect?
Was actually his job.
Paul
that
Ryan,
was his job.
Paul Ryan was the architect of that omnibus bill.
Yeah, and his job as speaker while Trump's first 2 years, first term, his job was to fuck Trump over and stymie him and stop him from doing anything, and he succeeded. Yep. He did his job. That's why he's retired. I did my job. I'm done here. My job is done here. Also, I won't get elected again.
Right, right.
That's the other thing. I'm not going to get elected again, so I have to step out because everyone hates me for, you know, everybody hates me because I fucked over the president for 2 years, so I can't run again because everyone hates me. But yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know what else to do with that.
I don't know where else to go. I mean, it's a standard lesson. Every show could be someone's first.
Yep.
And although this is going to be a paywall show, so
that's
maybe
okay.
Not.
It's still fun.
It's still fun.
Fun to talk about.
It's still fun.
These issues don't go away just because we
no,
talk
they
about
don't
them.
Go away. And you know, this is just the attitude everyone's going to have. Don't. And sometimes I actually do see people in our thing do this falling on principle thing. And don't. Don't.
The principle is
winning. That's
principle
it.
Principle is victory.
There
principle
is no
is
principle
power.
Other than winning. And it's good. And there are some.
Don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Right.
Don't be a wop.
Which doesn't mean like might makes right and things like that. That's silly because winning includes a basket of principles that we all adhere to. But
well, look at your principle. And just be
you like that?
My
basket
team.
Of principles. The principle is our team, and our yeah. team has values, right? So we don't want to win just to like wield power and crush people under the boot. We want to win because we have values that we want to enforce on yeah. on the body politic on our own nation.
Yeah,
and those values
I like
include
my team.
Yeah. Those values
my team
include,
does good stuff.
Yep.
Right, but I want to make it... See, the problem when you start talking about how the principle is winning in politics is, oh, might makes right. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because might can be very wrong. And it is right now. If might made right, then we... Again, that's another thing. We can't talk about anything.
Yeah.
So we have certain values. And those values are the prosperity of our race. Those values are strong families. Those values are virtuous people. Values are free speech. So those values are a total communist marketplace. No, I'm joking. Joking. Those values are a vigorous debate over economic policy between white people.
Anti-corporatism.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we know what they are. I mean, some of them aren't totally worked out. Some of them we debate about. But the point is, one of the main values of the debate is between us.
Yeah.
We don't bring outsiders in. That's one of the main values.
Yeah.
We don't let people that don't have our best interests engage in this debate. With us, because you're not debating mm-hmm. us, you're trying to put one mm-hmm. over on us. Mm-hmm. I'll talk to a white person, and if they're, I don't care if you're an I'm not an Austro-libertarian anymore. I don't believe in that economic policy, but I believe that a white person I'm talking to does believe in it, and is actually putting his best foot forward, trying to make his yeah. economic arguments, put out what he thinks is the best economic policy. I don't agree,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to let somebody that's from a foreign tribe step
right.
in and problem, enter this yeah. enter this playing field, which has happened.
Well,
that's the problem.
Their program is not popular among the average center right.
It's not popular among really anybody.
Individualistic. Kind
well,
of
what,
right
is, what is it? Stryker says only popular among megalomaniacal computer programmers.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like,
wait, does that mean you?
when I was
these,
a libertarian.
These people,
maybe,
these
yeah.
people, these people had to import like kind of like lower on the IQ scale. Kind of like tribalists and people that aren't individuals to come in here to kind of bolster their position because it was so unpopular. And that's why we're losing right now. They've been successful.
Well,
at that.
Okay.
At the that's what the
again,
demographic
we're not,
shift
we're
is.
We're not talking about Austro-libertarians that did that. We're talking about
on the other side.
Liberals and things
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. Yeah. And also Jews.
Yeah.
Because Jews, I'm talking about ideological libertarians that are white people. Like I believe that they believe that. So I'm willing to engage. My point is I'm willing to engage in the debate with them. If someone's from a foreign tribe or country, I'm not willing to debate you. I think you just need to go because I don't believe you have my best interest. Mm-hmm. I think you're trying to put one over on
right.
me.
Right. Those foreign
you're trying to
here.
Steal from me, as Kurt Doolittle says. Well, you're lying, and you're lying because you want to steal.
Yes.
And so that's why I don't want to. That's why
cheat and steal.
That's why I don't believe. Yeah,
I'm singing for Alex again.
I actually love that song.
It's a good song.
One of the best ones off Undertow.
All right.
But that's a good derail, because we could do a little segue onto the other thing, which is like they talk about the immigration issue in terms of, well, they're just like the pilgrims, man. They're just coming here to make a better world.
Someone's saying that?
Yeah, that's standard.
That's the analogy shitlibs use.
Someone used the pilgrim analogy? Of course, they do that on Thanksgiving.
For this type of immigration, as if they're not coming here to exploit a pre-existing system.
I don't even feel like that needs to be even addressed. I mean,
the pilgrims
came to exploit
a pre-existing continent. not like a pre-existing.
Yes.
That's
system.
Another good show title. Sometimes pre-existing continent rather than pre-existing condition.
I like that. Pre-existing incontinence. That'd be another good one.
That's a meme on a meme.
Yeah,
it's
a hat on
be,
a hat. Put a hat on a hat, you're gonna lose.
The immigrants are literally coming to exploit the pre-existing condition, and I'm fine with them doing that if they're white. If you're European, I think you can come over. Well, yeah,
you can't have the door open.
If we had the door open as much as we have it open, and it was only like Europeans coming over, we would be in much better shape. Like,
that is true.
Yeah, for even Russians.
People from Russia. Like how in the UK, like during like the Brexit debate, they're talking about all these horrible Polish plumbers that are in here, depressing wages. Like, no, that's not actually the problem, UK. But I'm glad you're addressing immigration.
I believe that might have caused some tension, right?
But I don't. That was just the only immigration they're allowed to talk about without being.
Well, that's what pissed me off. Is that like you'd always see UK so-called conservatives that wanted to complain about immigration, and they would default to complain about Polish, like, electricians and plumbers. Yeah. And I was like, you're a fucking asshole.
Squatting
what the real fucking problem is.
Yeah, right.
And you won't say it because you're afraid of the liberals. You're afraid of the Jews.
Well, no, dude, they'll get thrown in jail.
Because of laws passed by a lot of Kaisers themselves.
Yeah. Fucking God. I didn't mean to bring up the UK.
The fucking conservatives in the UK. You know what?
I want to say
something. One thing about the UK. You know who one of the most hated UK politicians ever in the UK is? Winston Churchill. They fucking hate him. And they hated him. And they hated him so much that literally in the middle of the last year of World War II, when they finally opened up elections, Winston Churchill lost in a fucking landslide 10%. He lost by 10% to Clement Attlee. The worst landslide in British history for a prime minister election. The worst fucking ratio. He was the most hated prime minister. He got ratioed hard. Ratioed hard by a left-wing Labour politician, Clement Attlee. And the thing is, he probably was, but at that time, like, Labour didn't mean, like, bringing in 1,000 browns. It meant, like, rights for coal miners.
Yes, exactly.
And so that's why the working class actually voted for Labour in those
days. Can you imagine, like, that's the problem with the realignment, like, mid-realignment right now? Like, the party that's supposed
to be...
It's
the problem with, like, the last third of the 20th century realignment was, like, fucking...
Like,
the Democrats are not
defending... Like, the Democrats at the same time, they're trying to, like... Bring in brown labor to replace the coal miners, and they're
That's
also
what it means. The brown labor party.
But they're also trying to shut down the coal mines.
Yes,
like all at the same time. And when these poor guys, they come out of the mine, like, well, now what do I do? What am I supposed to vote for these big corporate asshole Republicans? Like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, no, they don't know. This literally in the UK, the Labour Party should be like the brown labor party. It should be like
the brown rapist party.
The immigrant labor
party. Labor,
it's
rapist.
Yeah, it's awful. And that's the thing. So
Tories.
Tories.
Anti-immigration. Tories.
That's pretty funny. What political party are you voting for? Tories. Tories.
If it is
science fiction
show,
Tories.
You have to watch Back to the Future to be with me on that.
Well, everyone gets that meme.
I hope so.
I hope. Our listeners should
like, what are they talking about?
Tories.
It's just funny the way they say that. That's all. Like, no, it's from a thing.
It's from a thing, yes. What are you voting for?
So I tried to ruin Thanksgiving dinner yesterday.
Okay. Can I finish the...
I thought you were done. All right.
So always remember that, and there was one
always
more.
Remember.
There's one more element to the Winston Churchill thing. Oh, God, I just made a satanic symbol. Look at that. Must be Illuminati. I didn't mean to do that.
Winston Churchilled out.
All right. So I'm not gonna go... That's fine. Just let me just say the final piece. It's 1 second. The final piece of it is the only place the cult of Winston Churchill exists is in the United States. and it exists here as a piece of Jewish war propaganda. Mm-hmm. And in reality, in his own country, Winston Churchill was fucking hated. Mm-hmm. When they found graffiti that soldiers were writing during the war, they were drawing Stars of David on Winston Churchill's head. Wow. Because they knew in those days, the soldiers themselves that were going to be fucking cannon fodder in a Jewish war knew that that's what was happening. They knew mm-hmm. that that's what's happening. So all this shit about, oh, they stood to the last. No, they were like, fuck, this fucking asshole is making us go fight these Germans for these Jews. First opportunity. They canceled elections until 1945 for 10 fucking years. First opportunity, this guy got ratioed hard. And he was a Jewish pawn, and the English people knew it. And the reason he's only uses war propaganda in the United States because mm-hmm. he's always been a Jewish
because
pawn.
Because we have to.
And yeah, we yeah. use him when Jews want to promote war.
Because Lou Rockwell's right.
He's but a fucking wrong, scumbag.
Lou Rockwell's right for the wrong reasons. Like
some of the right reasons too, though. He's right for some of the right.
Well,
reasons.
Well, he doesn't acknowledge it, but like the cult, the religion of World War II.
Yes,
is what this country runs.
I guarantee
on.
You get Lou Rockwell in a room where no one's recording. Yeah, he'll tell you what that means.
Yeah,
I guarantee we fucking know. They fucking, all everybody knows. All
fucking pink
know.
Tie, telling you about the who runs the world.
Yeah. These bankers, these elites.
These elites.
That's the one thing. That's a good thing about libertarianism is they set you up for all. They set you up for just the last little piece there.
It's like an assist.
Just put the last just
like it's an alley oop. Like they yeah. they toss the
it's
pass.
Like they're these like things like down court tossing the pass, and we come along and we fucking dunk it. You know, yeah,
dunking on them.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
All right.
So I
great. So hey, you ruined Thanksgiving.
I didn't ruin it, but I got a. There was a little situation yesterday.
I want to hear about it. I kind of don't, but I do. But it's depressing.
It's not terrible. I should say no. The situation is terrible. I should say like my family. They're not shit libs, so it wasn't like. It wasn't like you know, tire screech. You know, record. You know, and like everything stopped. It was just kind of like. They're just not in deep like we are. They're not politically minded. They're not. Everything is not politics to them. So when something goes on and they kind of slip into like they kind of slip into some NPC, not NPC, but just like a
they
standard.
They repeat what they heard.
The standard feel about something. So yeah, recently, yeah. Not someone that I know, but somebody I was acquainted with a long time ago, in the past. Sort of someone that was in my high school at a certain point, murder suicided his wife. And obviously, and himself. That's
yeah. You know, that's what it. That's what it.
So, means. And it's very sad. I was shocked, shocked to hear it. This guy is a guy that did everything right. That's what was so blackmailing about it. He did all everything right. Absolutely right. Had three kids with her. He's a handsome dude. She's a good looking girl. He was successful. He's not a scumbag. And they stayed in the town that he grew up in, and he was part of the community. Everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. Everyone loves both of these two. And it's just a horrible tragedy. And my sister's filling me in on this. And I just kind of, I hadn't had any alcohol yet. Was not drinking, but I did blast my chest on the bench
you're
yesterday.
High on test.
I was like, fucking, like, I was like, you know, veins coming out of my forehead the whole time. So I don't know. Something was mentioned like, well, I mean, you know, he basically the conversation steered towards how this is his fault. And I'm like, whoa. What do you mean this is all his, how do you know it's all his fault? They have three okay. kids. She served him with divorce. Is she cheating on him? Well, I've never caught. I'm like, whoa.
That was the impetus for the shooting. Was the divorce papers?
Yes. Okay. He put the kids on the bus that day. They went to
like
school.
Really weird.
Shot her, followed her out front, finished her off, and then shot himself. Killed himself. They're all dead.
Wow.
And like, but
those were some fucked up kids.
But I had to start F. Roger Devlin posting. It's like, what was his alternative?
I think about the children.
What was I do too? But what were the kids going to be put through for the rest of their lives?
What they're going to be put through the rest of their lives now?
I mean, is this better or worse?
Who's got the kids though? Who adopts them?
I don't know.
They have grandparents. They have living grandparents.
I think his brother has. But there's okay. this is two huge families. Like the kids are
going to
be
okay. They're not going to the state.
They're not going to the state. No, absolutely.
Well, still they're going to be.
They're not
going
to have.
This
their
is
going
to be fucking traumatic, yeah. Bro. Like this is unbelievably.
Yes,
psychologically damaging for these children.
It's disgusting.
Let's not deny that. Right. Now I understand your point. What you're saying,
the assumption like she can just be,
but that's
bored.
The problem. That's
she
the
can
problem.
Just be bored and serve her husband, who has done everything right for that family.
Right, right.
Divorce papers because I'm a thought. Because it's 2018 and I feel like that I'm not reaching my potential here for how many dicks can be in as in my several holes.
Oh, Jesus.
Or whatever the hell. What I don't know. There is.
Do we
no,
know that that's what it was?
There's another man from what I heard. I could be wrong about that. But yeah, Either way, like, what else? What other reason is there? A suburban family, three kids, husband, and it's just suddenly.
Well, there's no allegation of abuse. There's no other reason.
No. No. There's like rumor of, oh, he's abusive. Oh, you mean he was like assertive and authoritative in the household? Is that abuse?
That's different.
That's abuse, right? I mean, that's what I had to like.
I don't condone beating the shit out of people. Like,
no, there was no, this is like this like verbally abusive. Oh, you mean so when somebody got out of line, he like set them straight?
Yeah, that's bullshit.
That's generally
What people mean by abuse and what's that? I consider abusive like closed fist beatings every night for no reason.
Yeah,
I don't consider abusive like shut the fuck up.
I consider abuse divorce papers when you have three kids.
That's abusive.
That's abusive.
Yeah.
That's abusive.
It's a bad situation.
And I can see he didn't want to go out the way that these kind of things usually end up.
But
I was really triggered because he is going, like, that sentiment is like, he is going to be blamed for this entire thing forever.
The entire thing.
This is going to be all his fault.
We have to keep in
just
mind.
Just because. I guess I'm realizing what shaky ground I'm standing
on. No.
But this whole thing, like, it takes two to tango here.
We have to recognize her role that she played in this.
Yeah.
We have to recognize
it. And it won't be recognized,
but that's what we
have to
do.
And to those kids.
I don't condone this in any way, like, because it will.
No.
The damage to the kid, no matter what, I do think the damage to the kids from this is greater than what the divorce would have been. It really is. There's no way.
How old are these kids?
Young teens.
They're in school, right? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's going to be.
There's a young teen and on down.
One of them, is there a boy involved?
Are they all boys? I actually don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, they're going to start acting out in really bad ways.
Yeah, there's going to be.
It's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad.
They're going to need some counseling, and they're going to need a lot of love. But they have a big family
that
loves them.
But
so,
like, yeah, it's not okay what this guy did.
No,
we're not saying that. But it's not entirely.
I'm saying he was found himself stumbled into a fucking abyss that he didn't deserve. And what else was going to become of these people? I mean, this is like life ruined.
Yeah.
Like, what was going to happen to him?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to do this divorce, and then what? Like, you're just going to use the entire family court system is set up to destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a fucking white male.
Yeah.
Like, what, you know, do you know what she could put him through?
Particularly.
And I assume that because of what he did, he knows what she was going to, there must be some inkling of what she's going to put him through.
It must have been, if she was cheating on him and everything was her fault, that doesn't matter to the courts.
Right.
Theoretically, adultery removes certain rights, but it doesn't really because
I don't think it does.
It all is up to a fucking judge, and the judges always defer to the woman. The whole thing is set up to that is true. This is F. Roger Devlin posting, but it is true. The whole thing is set up for women. When I was a kid, my parents were divorced, and it was totally the fault of my mother, and she was actually told to pay child support, and she never paid a single dollar of it.
Wow.
And my father tried taking her to court for that. He tried to get a judge to order her to pay it, and nothing.
Wow,
she'd get ordered to pay it, and she just wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it, and there were never any consequences.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and the ultimate thing was, I think that, theoretically, If a spouse that is ordered to pay child support doesn't pay, they get warrants, they get arrested, but they won't ever do that to a woman. And I'm not saying I wanted my mother arrested. That's not true at all. But it's just not, it's all
no,
very
but
fucked
a, there's
up.
There's a setup.
The whole situation is very fucked up.
Yes,
is what I'm saying. And like, and it's totally a one sided system. It's not a fair system because a woman can get ordered to pay child support and not pay a single dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And a man will be hounded to the ends of the earth till he's like sitting in the corner of a dingy motel room with a half empty bottle of Georgie, and that's all of his possessions in the world.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what they'll do to you. And a vindictive bitch would do that to you. And she'd take the kids, she'd prevent him from seeing the kids.
Yep.
She'd take every fucking dime he earned.
Yep.
She would
in the
she
future.
Would she would drive
every future
him
dime.
She yes, and every future she would drive him into she would take his children, claim abuse, not let him see them, and then drive him into poverty with the system, and she's capable of doing that. And she's a real fucking evil cunt. Now, there are some women that aren't quite that evil, but there are some women that are absolutely that fucking evil. If she's a real evil cunt, she'll do that. And I don't condone what this guy did, because the kids are going to be ultimately really, really fucked up, and they're the one that's mainly concerned about here. But, like, this situation arose out of the family court system that is one-sided and also designed to destroy marriages. It is designed to destroy marriages.
Yep.
If this woman didn't have the social messaging that she could do this, if the social message was, well, if you're having a tough time in your marriage, just deal with
just
it.
Just bail. It's just like having a boyfriend. You just break up.
I'm saying if it was that you have to just tough it out. And the thing is, I swear to God, people aren't so special. Put a guy and a girl, reasonably, decently attractive people in a room together, they'll start liking each other. They will.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
Why not stay together long enough for the kids to graduate high school and become adults is my question.
Even then, you can't
wait a few years, just a few years for your kids to be adults.
They can't put their egos aside.
That's too much to ask.
That's still damaging to... But still,
it's less damaging because once the children are out of the house, it's less bad. But it's like the problem with these bitches is they can't, and some of the men too probably can't check their ego long enough to like just not fight and fucking make everything shitty in front of the children. They couldn't if they know they hate each other.
Yeah,
they couldn't just be like, all right, well, we'll just pretend until these kids, you know, maybe I'll have a little room where I go for my private time. You can go to another room for your private time. We don't have to deal with each other. We know we're going to fucking irk each other. We'll just stay together for the kids. And we'll fake it. Because if we made these children, they should be the center of this project we have. I see what you're saying,
Alex. It's supposed to be the center. It's supposed to be.
This is just a very bad situation. But you're right. I agree with your premise that it's not entirely his fault. But he still did the wrong thing.
I don't want to chauvinist post.
You shouldn't kill people
like...
in yourself. That's really
No, you
bad.
Shouldn't kill people in
That's
yourself.
Really
That's
bad.
True. You shouldn't. But yeah.
I feel like women do... feel that they always have an escape hatch and they're raised that way from birth.
That's
always think
the
that
problem.
No matter what happens, I always have another option. Somebody will take care of me somewhere because that's been my lived experience my entire life. And men don't feel that way.
Men know that
if I fuck up, I'm just done.
Do I know that feeling?
And my belief on this was that when you marry, you have children, you become a family, you're no longer an individual.
Yeah,
and this divorce thing. I mean, it shreds a person apart.
Yeah,
because you are a full, you're like five people that are in like one personhood for a certain amount of time until the kids grow up, and it's just like, it's an act of violence. I think that the divorce is an act of violence, and turning around to him in the midst
social
of,
violence
in the middle of this project you have where you're raising these kids and you're a family, and just say nope,
I'm done.
I know somebody else. I'm into somebody else.
I'm done because I want more cummies.
Yeah, or whatever the reasons were. With those kind of details, it's all very shaky and rumors and who the hell knows, but assuming the things that were said were true, it's like, oh boy, so she was into some, she met somebody else then, and that's what, and he might, maybe if God forbid he was off somewhere working,
okay,
providing, and something else caught her fancy while she was bored. I don't know, but it's just like, it's awful. And the fact that it's just so easy to go act on that impulse.
There's also the urge around the Thanksgiving table to counter-signal whatever anybody else is saying.
Yeah.
So, like, if they're all, like, blaming him, you're like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
That was what I did.
Actually.
Like, whoa, a second. Let me tell you about my friend F. Roger. Have you ever heard of this?
Have you ever read the Daily Stormer?
Have you ever heard of sexual utopian power, sis? let me red bar you on this. Let me red cranberry sauce you on this right here.
Sexual utopia in
sexual
showers.
Sexual utopia in showers. Yeah, that was the show title.
Yes, it was. It was a really good show title.
So that was mine.
That was when we reviewed the book.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, also, this is your daily Stormer article review of why the woman was completely at fault and deserved to get shot. No, I'm joking. It's a joke.
I'm not going to say deserved to get shot, but I'm not going to sit here and say that.
Well, look, I think your take was good, which is to say that this was purely because of the man, because he's just evil, is not accurate. Is not an accurate take. There was an impetus for this. He didn't just do this.
Yeah.
He was, in fact, served with divorce papers. That's known, right? Okay, so we can show that he did a bad thing, but the system is rotten. What she did was rotten. We have to be able to say that.
The culture is rotten.
You can't let, because one person, and liberals will be happy to say this same thing if it suits their agenda. Like if a black person goes and kills like five people in a gang murder, well, sure, he did the wrong thing. But this is, and I actually don't entirely disagree with that. But with black people, the system is wrong is that they're in America, where instead of like tribal subsistence living in Africa, which is what they're used to, where, you know, anyway. But it is true. You can't simply say this guy just became evil after doing everything right his whole life, became an evil bastard overnight, and did this, or that he just broke and went crazy. That's the other thing. Was, oh, he just broke and he went crazy. We don't know. There's no reason.
Well, I mean, he kind of like, how would you react to this? I mean, how are you supposed to? I mean,
the that's what I'm saying. They'll ignore the fact that the divorce paper is a serious. Because if you think about his.
Yes, but what it is like the divorce paper is her empowerment. And he denied.
Well, apparently fucking
and he,
not.
And he denied her that empowerment. By doing what?
I don't want to say.
What?
That. Nah. I'm not going to.
Is it too much? I know. I'm getting uncomfortable, too.
I'm not going to say it. I know we're all thinking it, and Alex knows, and the audience knows. So, like, yeah. So we'll just leave it there.
You might have to write it down for me because I don't know what you're getting at. This must be an, is this an
I'll
old
tell
troll
routine? I'll tell you
is
during
an old
the break.
Troll routine of yours?
No, it's not an old troll routine. It's just something I'm not going to say. All right, I'll tell you during the break. I'm not going to say. And the audience knows what I'm
saying.
Audience knows what I'm not saying here.
Okay.
Again, I'm not saying it. Also,
this is what happens, Larry.
My judgment is clouded because I'm wondering, like, God, does anybody that I used to know listen to this? Like, I don't think so. I don't know. I remember this guy's. I remember this guy's face. I remember how he was as a dude. Like, I wasn't friends with him. I didn't know him very well. I just remember him around. It's a small town where I went to school.
Yeah, there was a kid when I was a kid. There was a guy I knew in high school.
Dude radiated positivity. That's all.
Yeah.
Radiated positivity his whole life.
That's very strange because typically people that do these things, even they like. There was a kid. I remember when I was in high school one year that there was a kid that shot his dad and shot himself. And it was like he was the dad was abusive, right? He was a twin brother.
Oh,
that was
God.
The other thing. He had his twin brother, and like this twin brother was like fucking ridiculously fucked up. After they were fucked up before, they were weird. But then like one day his brother like took they had a gun in the house, which is also very weird for the town that I lived in. And he
that
shot his dad and shot himself.
Wow!
And it was like the town was like, whoa, what the fuck? But nobody. Yeah. See, nobody really liked these people. They were not well known, and they were kind of weirdos, and they really didn't do anything socially. They didn't have many friends,
yeah.
So it was like a news story, and I was like, "Whoa!" Well, a lot of people were like, "Wait, is he in our class? Who is he? I don't know that kid." And so it was like a weird thing,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a thing. It was gossip about the town for like a week or so, and then it just died because whatever. But he was not these people were not like model citizens. These were like kind of a weird family that people
mm-hmm.
avoided.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
this was not that.
Yeah, that's what's strange about it.
Yeah, these are very popular people.
Yeah, and in this case, you could legitimately say this kid did something not entirely terrible based on the stories of abuse that we heard later. But
Yeah.
So did the wife.
Wow, this is what a great day after Thanksgiving this is. What a wonderful day after. That's like, can we stop talking about it now?
Yeah,
I don't want to. This is depressing as fuck. I know we already went too far with it, and I was about to say something I shouldn't have. So let's.
Yeah. I mean, the last time there was anything even close to this, it was a much more predictable situation. I don't want to say that.
So we said it wasn't Black Pill Friday, and we lied. We said it was Black Pill Friday, but we weren't going to Black Pill it, and now we did.
Well, it's not a Black Pill. I got my mother yelling.
I don't know. That,
I got my mother yelling at me.
That story is pretty Black Pilling, dude.
I got my mother
Mike is right. You just ruined Thanksgiving, bro.
You ruined Thanksgiving again.
No, we got right
You ruined Black Friday.
Well,
the Black Pill Friday.
We got through it. My father was cracking up.
Oh, he was?
Because I was dropping, you know, I was dropping.
Because you were dropping red bombs?
Red bombs and bants.
You red bombed that table? Doesn't mean throwing the cranberry sauce across the table? Well, you could do both at the same time. Fuck women! Throw the cranberry sauce.
I was like, punch woman!
Punch women!
I want to say my sister's name, but I'm not going to do it.
Don't punch her.
Punch woman!
And just like throw the cranberry sauce. Yeah.
This wasn't a dinner. This was still in the hors d'oeuvres. We were still having drink. Well, I hadn't had a drink yet.
Yeah.
It was still just. I was having water. Like I'm shaking because like the whey was in me. I had the pump, and I'm like
the test was flowing. The test must flow. But dude,
it was abusive?
I'm actually so glad that in some sense, like all my shitty family members have like don't want to have Thanksgiving to make. So I now am like forced to have Thanksgiving with only people that I like. And it's so much better. And then I don't have to have shitty turkey. I get to have lemon garlic chicken. And be with somebody that I like instead of like be with my shitty family where I'll be the whole time like like holding a beer or holding a glass of wine or like a cup of coffee like just trying not to say anything because like literally it is the Chad ruins Thanksgiving immediately versus the virgin waits
till
dinner. Like to ruin it. Like it's like I was the Chad ruins Thanksgiving like right away. Like, literally, as soon as anything political came up, I'm in there, like, actually!
I mean...
And then literally, my stepmother and I would just start screaming at each other, and the other people that were sitting around would be like, Deer in the headlights. See, with me and her just yelling at each other, and then it was like, all right,
this is standard behavior for me, though.
Yeah. Oh, like, ruining shit. Yeah.
Like one, like
me too.
One night, you know, every summer we take the big family vacation where we all converge in this beach house, and what, you know, one night after a couple drinks, I ruined Modern Family for my mother and my sister.
Oh, good. That needs to be ruined.
My father cracking up, and my sister would be like, why can't you just watch it and enjoy it?
Because it's faggots.
Because it's a fucking faggots trying to destroy our way of life.
It's literally a show about faggots. That's why I can't just watch it and enjoy it.
Because the only people portrayed as good parents in the show are the two gay dads.
I have had this conversation with women.
Whammons.
I've had this conversation with whammons. Why can't you just watch it and not make it political? Because it is political. There's political messaging in the show, and I see it. And I'm going to analyze it and attack it. You just sit there and absorb it because you're a sponge, because you have lemon brain. Excuse me.
Oh, God. That was a good time, though.
I love ruining shit for people.
Ruining fucking...
I am like a rat at a fucking garden party. I will ruin everything.
I feel sad that, like, I don't know things well enough to ruin them anymore because I don't watch television anymore.
I like want to start watching TV to ruin.
Like, the reason I could ruin Modern Family is because I used to watch.
But you know
it.
What, dude?
So I knew it very well, so I could fucking pick apart.
I never even watched that show. But the thing is, we've actually meta ruined. We have like meta ruined TV.
Like for ourselves.
For ourselves, but for our fans as well.
Yeah.
And that's actually one of my
Anglin used to talk about this, like, dude, we gotta like do something about TV and
we've ruined it.
We're just alienating people. Like, I'm sorry.
Here's what we do, man. Modern TV just sucks.
It fucking sucks. It's not because I'm old. It's not because I'm out of touch. It's just terrible. The fucking scripts are god awful. Politics is injected into everything.
It's really bad.
Everything is god awful too. It's just everything is bad. Shitty.
Everything is bad on television.
It's just shitty. Look at a Netflix show. Is there anything on Netflix worth watching these days? Anything?
No. No, nothing, nothing. But that's actually garbage. A problem, too, because one of the things we do need to do is critique this stuff.
Yeah.
So, on some level, it was actually, I used to banter you about still watching garbage TV, because I cannot sit through it. That's why I have Ed Chang.
I watched one show.
It's not just the politics. It's just in general, it's bad.
It's shitty. The politics
the
are bad.
The camera work is bad. Everything.
All right, I'm not enough of an artist to know about camera work. Right, anyone watching this video presentation?
Well, this is why we have Ed Chang.
Well, I watch Better Call Saul now, and it's it.
Oh God, I hated that.
Really?
So Jewish.
Better Call Saul, the Breaking Bad spinoff.
It was all Jewish.
Nah, it was good.
It was
stuff.
The Jewish stuff.
It was good.
But no, I think this is why the Ed Chang show, which I believe it's going to be renamed now to the Ed Chang show. It really should be. That's just the best meme, like literally. It's like my favorite meme in a very long time. Ed Chang. Ed Chang does a very good job of watching this stuff, so you don't have to. Mm-hmm. It's great. But also, like, I do think
he's sad all the time because he's always watching TV. He's always watching his garbage. Like,
yeah, I know. But we all got to take one for the team sometimes. You know, we got different roles to play, and Ed Chang has chosen his role. And that's good. But I do think we have to be able to critique this stuff, but also we've like meta ruined TV. There's so many people that tell us like, I can't watch TV anymore after listening to you guys. And I'm like, this is actually good because this is how you gain, this is how we make it so that they have to just watch us all the time.
It's true.
Because now we've given them the criteria on which what things are good and they should be able to watch. So they're always going to listen to us about what that is. And so now, you know, we have got permanent TRS fans. I'm joking. That's not really what not really the plan. But it's sort of, it actually is good that you, and I'm not saying you have to watch and listen to us. I'm just saying that TV is garbage. If you watch it, be aware that you're watching garbage and analyze the garbage. Don't just
it's
uncritically absorb it. But it's impossible, I think, for people to listen to our show to uncritically absorb TV. Some people tell me that it hasn't been ruined for them. They sort of masochistically enjoy ruining shit for other people now. And I'm like, that's the way to go.
There you go.
That's the way to go. Watch the shit with your friends and ruin it for them.
Figure out, so there's a Lethal Weapon TV show.
Like, sit there watching Modern Family.
I learned about this yesterday.
Watch Modern Family with your friends. And in the middle of it, be like, this whole fucking show is about faggots. What the fuck? and like, see how they react. Anyway.
It's a good match. There's a Lethal Weapon television show.
Oh God!
And they killed off Riggs.
That was Mel Gibson.
Yeah, they. I'm like, how do you have Lethal Weapon with just Danny Glover?
Is it just Danny Glover?
It's not Danny Glover, but it's whoever is. I think it's Damon Wayans is the Danny Glover character. So like, so now you have Lethal Weapon with no rigs.
So there's they're no just rigs. Using the branding.
So Thomas Keane and Ivory Wayans?
It has nothing to do with the original show. They just want to use the title.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's why I hate modern television. That's one of the reasons. Like,
but notice like
they don't
want to use the white guy.
So they don't have either.
Don't use the black guy.
They don't have, but they don't have either of the white guy, black guy buddy couple that had the dynamics that enjoyed.
Yeah.
So they just have Lethal Weapon. They're calling it Lethal Weapon. It's a cop show called Lethal Weapon starring a black guy.
Black guy and a white guy, but they killed off Riggs.
Oh, somewhere. So it's they still doing the black guy, white guy thing.
But not anymore because they killed off Riggs.
But who's the white guy?
So it's just a black guy.
So it's just a black guy. Black guy cop show.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, now I guess it's
they should just rename it Black Guy Cop Show. That would also be a funny show.
Yeah, Black Guy Cop Show. Maybe look at another black guy to be the new Riggs. Find a Mestizo.
There's two black guys. Two black cops.
Two black cops.
Didn't they do that already with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence?
Yeah, what was that shit called?
I think it was called Bad Boys.
Bad Boys. Yeah. Maybe perhaps Bad Boys 2.
Yes, Bad Boys 2 is considered one of the all-time
Electric
exploding movies, all-time great exploding movies. Cause a lot of things blow, a lot of cars blow up.
I never saw that either.
I've never seen either, but every time I see a clip of it, cars blowing up.
Turkeys.
Oh, you know what? You know what?
They're constantly throwing frozen turkeys into
vats
of hot oil.
You know what got an honorable mention yesterday? Your favorite movie came up.
What's that?
My fada, or maybe it was my brother-in-law. Somebody was talking about The Last Boy Scout yesterday.
Oh, yeah? That's a good movie. Yeah. Now, you want to see a black-white buddy movie, that one is great.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking hilarious. Every line, dude, Bruce Willis in that movie is genius. Every fucking line out of his mouth is fucking funny.
They were talking about a football player pulling a, because you know what? Somebody scored a touchdown in the game and
expecting the roided up football player to pull a gun. That was the amazing first scene.
He pulled
a
gun out of the fucking, the padding around the.
This happened?
No, in the movie he pulled it out of the padding around the goalpost, right? That's right. He had it on him. Oh, okay.
He has it on him and he starts shooting.
Apparently, in a football game recently, or I don't think it was yesterday, but in a game recently, a fucking player caught a touchdown and he pulled a cell phone out of the padding on the goalpost so he could call mom. And
that's some high level showboating.
Dude, I didn't fucking know this, but talk about the fucking Nigger Football League. They're allowed to do organized celebration dances. Again.
Oh, they're allowed to do
they
allowed
just,
to showboat
there
again?
Were so many yesterday. I couldn't. I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, this shit's back? I'm like, does the fucking commissioner not know what his audience wants or doesn't care? Like, there's literally, it's just like every single touchdown results in the fucking Thriller video. It's like the fucking, fucking zombie Negroes doing a fucking organized dance routine in the end zone. And the one guy the one that scored the touchdown, and it's just like I was like, this used to be like not just penalties,
white
but
people would
used
never
to be
do that,
fines so. For this shit. This yeah. is when like my dad yeah. and his pals would be like, pull out a fucking shotgun and shot out from the stand. You know, like this was like you yeah. know the age old
racism.
This is
the difference here.
It's back.
This is the difference between white culture and Negro culture.
Oh my god!
You know, if Negroes want to have a Negro football league and they do line dancing after they score a touchdown, I'm fine with it.
What's his face wants to bring the XFL back?
And that's where you can do your dumb dancing.
No, but the if he's going to do it right, he should come back and be the football league that like everyone's wearing a suit and not one of those crazy monkey suits that you spend like thousands. Like, no, you're going to go to fucking JCPenney. You're going to buy a cheap suit that's like very plain, and that's what you're going to wear when you're off the field. And you're not going to have stupid hair, and you're not going to listen to rap music. And we're going to like
and you're not going to be a cocaine addict.
Yes,
you're not going to have guns.
Vince McMahon,
you're asking too much.
Vince McMahon should create like the button down polite football league.
He won't. It'll be the exact.
I know
opposite.
He won't. But because the reason he wants to bring it back is because of the kneeling shit.
But
basically, it should be like the white football.
Wait, Paul Nealon has something to do with this?
you ruined the NFL too. It turns out.
Oh Jesus. he started off making a good bid for taking over, but he kind of.
But
ruined
the kneeling
it
thing
through.
In the NFL, forget about it. At first it was good, but then something went off the rails.
But that was
actually totally funny. In Last Boy Scout, it's actually really funny. Like he's like the running back, and he just pulls a gun out of his hip, and he just shoots every tackle coming at him.
That's really
he's just
funny.
Like shooting them out, and then he gets a touchdown. He's like, yeah, and the cops, you see all these cops running at him, and he's like, ain't life a bitch, and then he shoots himself in the end zone.
Wow.
After they still put the points on the board, though.
No. Is that the opening scene?
Yeah, that's the first scene.
You always got to grab him in the first chapter. That's the rule.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's like the...
I got to see that film. I've never,
you
still never seen
dude,
it.
We should watch it some night.
But it was just funny. It was funny that it came up yesterday. I don't remember why.
Some night we're
I think it was because they were talking about Lethal Weapon because it's Damon Wayans in that movie too, right? So it's Damon Wayans as Danny Glover.
And, yeah, this one's Damon Wayans.
I think that's why they were talking
about it. It's A. Wayans and Bruce Willis. There's one cheesy scene in the movie.
Of course there is.
Because Damon Wayans is an ex-football player that had to leave because of drug addiction. And there's one scene where he actually tosses a football to take out a bad guy. Like it's and it's like a Hail Mary pass. And like, but you're willing to go with it. It's 90s action flick. You know, what do you want to do?
It's fun.
Right?
What are you going to do?
It's fun. It's all fun and games. But, dude, Bruce Willis' one-liners are fucking amazing. There's this one thing where, like, he's paid to watch Halle Berry, right? She's a stripper. Her life's in danger.
Oh, Jesus.
And he's sitting in the strip club watching her. And she comes over and she's talking to him. And she's like, why are you looking at me like that? He's like, put some fucking clothes on. And then she's like, what are you, my father? He's like, yeah, I am. Put on some fucking clothes.
Yeah, put some fucking clothes on. What do you think this is? Yeah,
it's funny. And the whole, like, I seem to have dropped my cigarette. I'm going to need another one. Best scene ever. You remember the guy from, I think he's a Jew. He's a guy in, you might not know who this guy is, but some listeners might.
Holy shit. We did nothing for an hour, didn't we?
I know. I'm going to shit post. It's fine. It's a shit posty show. He's the guy that was in, what's that show with the motorcycle people? The motorcycle gang?
Oh, the
he was
oh,
in that and he
fuck.
Fucked a tranny in that show. Very Jewish.
I didn't know there was
he's
a tranny
Jewish
getting
actor.
Fucked in
yes,
that show.
There was a tranny.
You mean the
was...
one with like Ron Perlman and the
yes,
blonde guy?
Yes, yes, yes. What the
Sons
fuck?
Of Anarchy.
Sons of Zionism. Sons of Zionism. Sons of... So he was in Sons of Zionism and he was like one of the most badass bikers in the gang. And
but
he ended up fucking a tranny and like fell in love with it. It's terrible. Terrible, terrible show.
I missed that side plot.
Anyway, he dies. Bruce Willis punches him in the nose and kills him in this movie. It's fantastic. Because he keeps like, Bruce Willis is in a chair. I'm just going to do the scene.
Does Bruce Willis get away with it because the guy called him a nigger first? Because apparently if you
yes!
punch
no,
if you
he
punch
was a
somebody,
Nazi.
If you punch
so
somebody
he was
to
okay.
Death.
He was okay. No, there was
actually
no...
this literally happened. There's a story about a guy who punched someone to death.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Well, he
no.
called him a nigger. It's like, oh,
yeah,
right.
I do remember that story, though. But it's a very, I won't do the whole scene. I should do it. But it's just funny because he keeps giving him cigarettes and he's like, I seem to have dropped my cigarette. I have another cigarette, please. He's like, yeah, you have another cigarette. Punches him again. And then Bruce Willis kills him. It's great. Fucking good movie. Anyway.
Sounds like a good movie.
Yeah. Whoa. Is this the... Are we doing that now?
Wait,
what was that video?
I'm a faded black person. I don't know what this is.
This looks
Hold
like
on, let me see
something...
If I can... Now, this is a Facebook video. I have to pause...
Yeah, you
expand.
Have to pause.
No, there's no such thing as
there's
race.
There's one race. There's one race. The human race.
Right.
And y'all.
See, because that started playing on its own, even though
this sounds terrible.
All I did was expand. I didn't want to actually start playing it yet, but it took it upon itself. So, that's us. I don't want us to move. I want this window to move, please. All right. We'll see what goes on here.
I'm not a white woman. I'm a faded black person.
Oh, God.
My people move far from the equator. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason my skin is lighter.
What?
That's all any white person is.
What?
Oh, I remember this girl.
Hey.
There's
no such thing as
there's
race.
There's one race. There's one race. The human race.
Right.
And y'all came from the same...
Is she a Jew? Let's look at that. Let's look at that nose.
No, I...
She's not a Jew. She's the woman that does that shit. You know what I'm talking about, Alex.
Yeah, I read an article about this years ago.
She's the woman that does that abusive shit. We had to take a break and talk about it afterwards.
She does that
abusive brainwashing shit to people. It's fucked up, and that's Jada Pinkett Smith. And the reason she's doing negress there, the negress that tries to make herself look as white as possible by having light skin and you know not and like Caucasian facial features rather than Negroid facial features. That's Jada Pinkett Smith, who also recently said openly that she hates white people and doesn't like being around them.
Brown Eyes, Blue Eyes. That was the name of the thing that she did.
Yes, Brown Eyes, Blue Eyes. So that one, what's her name? She's not Jewish. She's like Scottish or something. She got like a Scottish name. Anyway, it's like, it's not Lynn Stewart. I keep thinking Lynn Stewart. That shitty lawyer that like loved fucking Muslim terrorists.
Oh my God.
Anyway, let's take a break. We're going off the
rails. Yeah, we'll be right.
We've gone off the rails. We've been off the rails.
I mean, the whole show is off the rails.
That's fine.
It's fine. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TDS on the Right Stuff.
Doug Biz.
Suicidal solidarity.
Oh my God! 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 Oh my God!
Hey, did you guys hear about the Twitter fight between Piers Morgan, Ariana Grande, and a vibrant all-girl pop band, Little Mix? You did? You did? Oh, you're such fags. In cooperation with Graf Rudolph, this is Trent Holmgren with Suicidal Solidarity. We're sure you're still fat and happy after Thanksgiving dinner, so sit back and relax as we take a journey around this clown world full of cucks, colored folks, and craziness. We'll start our journey this week in China, where fashion company Dolce & Gabbagool is in hot water after tweeting a bunch of hilarious videos of Chinese people trying to eat various Italian food with chopsticks. Inevitably, the company was accused of, wait for it, racism. It's not Dolce & Gabbagool's fault that eating anything other than sushi with chopsticks looks fucking stupid by default. The campaign had been criticized for trivializing China's century-old culture and depicting Chinese women in a stereotypical and racist way by users on social media. The use of split-up chopsticks was also criticized for being improper and disrespectful. If they just used a fork like normal people, this would never be an issue. In any case, according to Dolce & Gabbagool, some elite hacksaws took control over their Twitter account for the sole purpose of being insensitive to Chinamen. God damn you, 4chan. Over in the United Kingdom, nearly one in four young women have a mental illness, with emotional problems such as depression and anxiety the most common. Women having mental problems is not really news to anyone who's not a total waterhead, but these figures have been rising in the UK, becomes more and more clownish and non-white. This is a country where authority figures like the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Webley, said that God is not male or female after female bishops demanded the Church of England stop referring to God solely as he. And while this nation's girls suffer and the men stand idly by and watch, the UK government is furiously trying to save as many non-whites as possible, such as gay rugby player Kenneth Macarena, who has been given a temporary reprieve from being deported from the UK. The Bristol Bisons team member said if his claim for asylum was rejected and he was made to return to Kenya, he would suffer violence. The UK is officially staking their future on gay blagues instead of their native white daughters. Illegal third world immigration has taken a particularly clown world turn down near Africa, where a French overseas region of Mayotte has reported that the indigenous Shimaori speakers of the island have now become a minority due to the rapidly rising number of illegal immigrants arriving on the island in recent years. This realization came after the release of a report from the French National Institute of Demographic Studies that revealed more than 50% of the adults on the island had been born overseas. In only 3 years, the study says, the proportion of children born to immigrant parents on the island went from 42 to 75%, and noted that the fertility rate of foreign women was substantially higher than the natives of the island. I know, where have we ever heard that before? We're sure the world will stand together in solidarity with Shimaori people to prevent them from being replaced in their own homeland. But white people? Fuck them. Fuck them. The European Union is on the verge of passing their Compact on Migration, which lays out 23 objectives to open up legal migration, quote-unquote, to better manage migratory flows as the number of people on the move worldwide has increased to 250 million, 3% of the world's population. The pact has already been rejected by the US, Poland, Austria, Hungary, and the Czech Republic. Oh, wait, there's more. Australia. Next page. And, of course, Israel. In Germany, tens of thousands of people have already signed a petition for Germany to reject the pact as well, and that number is expected to grow. Disgraced German leader Angela Merkel is stubbornly defending the pact, saying that signing the pact will be a win-win situation for Germany. She attacked concern over the controversial agreement as nationalism in its purest form. The dual Hydra heads of the German and French governments are pressing on their mission to end Europe as we know it. President Emmanuel Macron has heralded the current Franco-German alliance, which he said will lead Europe and stop the world from descending into chaos. Literally, the fucking opposite of that statement is the truth. But okay, retard, get the cock out of your mouth. By now, you've all heard that the American retard who decided to pay a visit to the murderous Sentinelese tribe, that's this tribe of potential doctors, lawyers, and engineers who live completely isolated on an island off the coast of India, who shoot at anything and anyone with their bows and arrows. Well, Asiatic American John Allen Chow decided that the power of his proposition hosts nations' values of egalitarianism and democracy were more powerful than the nativism and xenophobia of this island tribe. He went to pay them a visit and was promptly filled with arrows like Gerard Butler in that movie 300. Chow was a Christian missionary proving that white savior syndrome can affect non-whites too. According to extracts of a journal published in the Washington Post on a previous visit, he shouted at them,
"My name is John. I love you. And Jesus loves you."
One of the tribesmen shot at him with an arrow, which pierced his waterproof Bible. In a last note to his family, he wrote,
"You guys might think I'm crazy and all this, but it's a worthwhile to declare Jesus to these people."
He had taken scissors, safety pins, and a football as a gift to the tribe. He wrote he was doing this to establish the kingdom of Jesus on the island and that people should not blame the natives if he's killed. "No one is blaming the natives, Mr. Chow. Your dream of suicidal solidarity has been realized. If your dismembered corpse is ever recovered, I'm sure you'll be roundly praised for your efforts to end the poisonous nationalism of this small tribe of right-wing malcontents. Rip in pizzas." Well, that just about does it for this week, boys and girls. No, it actually does it for this week, boys and girls. We're thankful for each and every one of you. We'll see you next week.
Trent, thank you.
Oh, shit. It's officially my favorite drop, and all have dropped them. Trent, thank you.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, so can you believe it? Like, liberals are hard ethno-nationalists now. And...
Wait, huh? What? They are?
Oh, were you not listening? The guy that the natives all shot that guy with arrows.
Oh, yeah.
The white...
I knew about the missionary. That was one of the funnier stories. I'm sorry to say, that was a funny story.
But the entire left now, like, they're like... They're...
Well, that's very ghoulish of you to think that's a funny story. Mister.
You think so? You think me laughing at a guy being killed because of his own idiocy is ghoulish? Okay. Fair enough. But, like, dude, how much of a fucking idiot do you have to be to go to a tribe, previously uncontacted tribe? Nobody knows the language. No one knows how to communicate with them. They've been aggressive towards anyone that's approached in the past. And I'm going to convert them to Christianity.
I just want to know what I just want to know how I just want to know how I can achieve this protected status of that tribe where
yes,
you're allowed
where
to,
I'm allowed to
you're allowed to use force to enforce your borders of your territory. I'd like to know, and I would like to have the sanction of the liberal media and liberal elite for doing so and being like, well, like I would love it to be like, oh, what do they expect? What do they expect to happen when you try to wipe out a people in a country?
Tragedy here, though. This guy wasn't a Catholic, so that means he got shot and went straight to hell.
No, this is not the kind of thing Catholics. This is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was actually answering the issue of him being Catholic or not, rather than just laughing at the thing. So I wanted to
like Logos or something.
Yeah, some kind. Well, the thing Logos.
A lot of logos on the video right now.
There's a lot of logos on the video.
Comfy 90s logos in the.
Yeah, it's a really pretty comfy video. It reminds me of childhood, and it's sort of fun.
F.A.O. Schwartz. Holy shit.
Oh my God!
Wolfgang Puck.
F.A.O. Schwartz. All oh right, my God! Right. Who sells toys, guy?
Who sells everything? We know
who sells everything.
We get it.
We get it. Yeah, it's still funny. It's still
nice,
very
those
funny.
Are some nice shots of a mall. As Alex was saying in the break, like, wow,
it just said Bally.
Okay, but anyway, it's just like everybody's skinny. Almost everybody's white.
That's the one thing about this. See, this
is like
watching
an old. It's like watching an old episode of Roseanne right here.
What we're watching here is footage from old mall advertisements, security cameras, whatever, right?
Yep.
And this is all late 80s and 90s stuff, and it does remind me of childhood. And it's sort of funny because it's kind of got a vaporwave feel to it, of course. If you watch this video yourself, you're going to hear vaporwave music behind it. But yeah, it's 80s and 90s, and it is almost
it's
all
paradise.
White, and everyone is optimistic, and it's like whatever. It reminds me of my childhood a lot, and it's got an aesthetic feel to it, and people like it because it feels comfy. It feels comfy.
It comfy.
It's all white. White people laughing and having fun. There's no colored people in these videos.
No.
People
right
don't
now.
Want to admit that. Go to, oh my God, no. Do
go
not take
right
me
now.
There. Do not make me go there.
Have you been to that mall yet?
I've been to that mall. I was there last Christmas with you.
That mall
Forget
is a,
about
it's, a, it's a brown nightmare. There's two. There are two.
Why do you think there's no malls anymore?
The mall has two coffee shops in it. All right. Both are served. You're getting your coffee. You have no option. You will be serviced, no matter which one you go to, by a gender non-conforming mystery person.
Of course.
One of them is clearly a guy who wears a t-shirt that says No Bras Club on it. And the other, my wife swears, is a female, but I think it's just a male. But it's just this big, fat,
You 56% can never know these
thing.
Days.
And it's like, is this a girl trying to be a guy or a guy trying to be a girl? Are those man titties
or is this
actual
just a
titties?
Fat, genderless, raceless blob of flesh?
That's what it is. So no matter which coffee shop you
and
go to,
it's beautiful.
Mall, and it's beautiful. That's the mall experience. Back then, holy shit, in these videos, if something like tried to dress up as the opposite sex, tried to serve coffee, I'd be like, oh, what the fuck is wrong? Ugh. No one would stand for that.
Well,
now, like, if I go, oh, what the hell? Like, people will fucking pick me up and throw me out of the place.
Dude, why are we... Think about it. Now, we rail on consumerism and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And that's true. But we now are showing nostalgia here for a previous era's consumerism.
Well,
this is how far...
What?
No. Let me finish the point. The reason is because it was at least white. This is a white paradise, what we're seeing in these malls. People are wearing big pastel clothing. Mm-hmm. There's rides. There's people having fun, balloons, there's food. It looks fun. It's like a fun place. Why are there no more malls? I'll give you one.
The Black Person Mall.
I'll give you one reason.
At the Black Person Mall.
It's because of people of color. There's no more malls because of POC. And malls, the downfall of any mall, in New Jersey at least, where I lived, downfall of any mall was when they started offering bus services from black areas.
Oh, Lord.
Then it was like, that's basically, and they should have known. They should have known better to do this, because as soon as they do this, they destroy their own mall. Both the Livingston Mall and the Short Hills Mall, which were two malls relatively close to where I lived, they started busing people in from Newark and East Orange.
Memory.
And the Short Hills Mall didn't do this. That was really classy. Livingston Mall did start busing people in from Orange and East Orange and Newark, Irvington. You know that these are not good places.
You're supposed to not like the people like.
And we ruined it. It ruined it.
Like, the mall being in a specific geographic area is supposed to be like the barrier to entry to people who can't afford
barrier
to, like,
entry
to
is,
get over there.
They were in these exurban.
Like, it's like, it's supposed to be like, why should we, like, we don't have cars to drive over to where the stuff is too expensive for us, so we'll just steal. Like, now it's like you're literally giving them.
Well, they do have cars. They just
ride.
Get pulled over if they try to drive into those.
That
areas.
Too. It's just, yeah.
So they get on a bus, which doesn't get pulled over.
It's fucking bullshit.
Also, a lot of them don't have cars. And they don't know how to get anywhere.
I remember the mall that I go to, like, the worst threat was, like, the white kids acting like wiggers in the 90s. Like, how do we put a curfew? They were all really hardcore imitating, like, the gangster rap shit.
Were they really hard, or they were just...
I doubt it, but, like, they would just do dumb shit at the mall where you could just... You know, at the mall, you could cause a problem, just run, and no one's going to probably get you. So they started, like, putting in laws about how old you had to be to not be there with the parents, and they were putting laws against, like, people congregating in certain areas.
Yeah, they wouldn't let you just hang out at the mall.
But it started with the whites who were imitating blacks.
Yeah, the white people that were imitating blacks were the ones that started ruining it.
They started ruining them all.
Then they were like, let's just totally ruin it by busing these blacks.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's not that, you know, malls, there's going to be countersignaling of malls in the comments. I can feel it, but that's fine. I don't care.
Well, I mean, it's because, like, the mall, you know, cause if you're a real trad,
The mall
replaced the public square, replaced Main Street or whatever, and it's like, okay. I mean, go to Main. Tell what went downhill first, like your center of town or your mall?
Well, they both fell prey to the same monster.
But wasn't the mall like a reaction to what's happening to your fucking city?
It was. That's what I'm saying. Like, and then it fell prey.
And then it did the same
because
thing.
Nobody.
Well, look at this fucking guy.
Yeah, look at this guy.
Wow, talk about the Chad ruining Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but because nobody could talk about what happened to the town square,
right?
We'll just
build an indoor town.
They build an indoor town
where
square
these people can't get to,
where theoretically we'll be safe. And now we can't do it anymore.
Now we have Amazon.
Now we have to bring them in because it's racist.
Now you shop on your computer.
Yeah.
And the diversity is when you call up customer service.
The only diversity is when the guy delivers it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that. I don't know what else to say.
Oh, look at this gold gilded Eddie Bauer.
Oh, God, there it is.
That was great. There's an IKEA dance music, whatever that is. That's good stuff.
Oh, look at that. Nice. See, they had, like, I remember when they did this, they would put cars and stuff.
We had content, though, right? I mean, this is the Black Friday.
I've got some content. I want to real quick talk about what we teased about the Antifa stuff in Philly.
Oh.
I wanted to say one thing about this that I didn't say. So, in Philly, at this We the People rally, this main Antifa organizer named Thomas Keenan and his accomplice, one of his accomplices we know is named Tom Massey, they assaulted
Thomas Massey?
Not Thomas Massey.
Based Thomas Massey?
No,
from Kentucky?
No, not him. And I know that joke was already made on Twitter because I put this out on Twitter
earlier, and people
have already been doing it. I assume if you haven't been, then you missed out on a great joke. I haven't looked yet, but I assume people have. And don't disappoint me.
Is the Antifa guy's hair as curly as?
Well, here's what he looks like.
Probably.
You kind of.
His beard.
That's him right there.
His beard pubes are about as curly as Thomas Massey's
it's
hair.
Gross.
Wait, what's
gross.
Here?
So okay,
he's
so
Andy bags.
So there was a rally November 15th.
In Philadelphia.
In Philly. And it was the We the People rally. It was like a patriot type thing, Proud Boy. I don't know if they were there or not, but it was like a patriotic type thing, but it was sort of an alt-lighty kind of feel, right?
So racist.
Well, that's what they were calling it, right? And they were calling it a Nazi protest. And, of course, it was fully good optics, American flags everywhere. And it was like 40 people, 30, 40 people and like 200, 300. And they say 1,000, but I doubt it. Of course, anyway, so there's a main guy in Philly. His name is Thomas Keenan. Thomas J. Keenan. He lives in New Jersey.
Maynard James Keenan.
No, we're calling him Keenan.
We're
calling him Keenan Ivory.
Because he's very, very white.
Yes.
All right. So he's basically been an organizer in Philly for a long time. He's basically a known operative of this. He's been in jail because he does things like throw bricks through people's windshields and in windows if he thinks they're Nazis. In May of 2017, he actually threw a brick through the window of an Indian and a Muslim because he thought a Nazi lived in the apartment. And, of course, nothing happened to him.
No, because he thought he was doing it to a Nazi. That makes it okay.
Yeah, he thought he was doing it to a Nazi. That makes it okay. And you know what? Even the people whose window he threw the brick through...
Eventually said that, right?
Said, we're not this guy. Get your shit right. You need to be better about getting it right. They didn't say, don't throw bricks through people's windows. This, they said, make sure you get it right next time because we're on your side. Seriously. And they probably said this because if they had said something else, then they'd come back and throw another brick.
But why would they ever say anything else? Like they literally think that.
The people that did have the brick thrown through the window were actually leftists.
Yes,
and
of course they're like, hey, whoa, wrong guys.
Yeah, yeah. But it's funny, but it's funny. Even if they didn't like Antifa, they would still have to say it's okay. It's basically
it's okay
to throw through because if they say it's not, then they aren't, and they'll get another brick the next day. So because that's how these people operate. Hold on a second.
Anyway. Why couldn't they just blame the Nazis for the brick being thrown in the first place?
Because Nazis are nice, because they knew who did it,
and they did a protest outside of the. They did a protest outside the.
No, let's just say it.
Nazis' fault if you think about it.
But Nazis are nice, nonviolent, law-abiding people who wouldn't do a thing like that.
All right.
That's why.
So what I want to do is I want to...
We know that.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Nazis would... No, he's saying it's their fault for living.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
I got it.
Okay. So, all right. So here's the other bit. So they, at this We the People rally, Tom Keenan and Tom Massey assaulted a group of Marine reservists. They called them Nazis. They punched them and kicked them and stole their phones and then ran away with their phones, probably because they, we're going to get all the Nazi secrets out of these phones. So these Marine reservists complained, and the police put out a warrant, and they put out a wanted notification for them. And Thomas Keenan has been arrested. Tom Massey, as far as I know, is still at large. But here's the wrinkle.
He is large.
They're both pretty fucking large. Fucking both corpulent. Of them are large. I don't know who this nerd in the bike helmet is. Jesus Christ, look at this fucking dork. Anyway, you can go look at that weird Canadian guy's Twitter if you want to see this stuff. The interesting thing here is there's a little wrinkle. In that Christopher Cantwell, when he spoke to FBI agent Dino Capuzzo, he knew about these guys, and he told Capuzzo all about them. But what did Capuzzo do?
Arrested Ram.
He arrested innocent men. He went and complained against innocent people. He did not put these two, both of these, Cantwell, look, Cantwell, whatever, we get it, but Cantwell told them about these guys. And the FBI is partially responsible for this crime. Because you were told about these two violent lawbreakers, you were warned, and now we have this preventable crime. Terrorist.
This is actual political.
It is
offensive
political
violence.
Terrorism.
This is political fucking violence.
They attack people for their political beliefs, and they attack people for their political beliefs as a method. Thomas Keenan traveled to Charlottesville. He started violence in Charlottesville. He started violence in Philadelphia before. He's been in jail for this before, for throwing bricks through people's windows. He's a terrorist. I know maybe, you know, you say, oh, it's not so bad. He's not, like, suicide bombing buses. Doesn't matter.
Not yet.
He is, A, not yet. It will escalate to that. Mm-hmm. And B, the guy, his method and his purpose for life is to use violence to shut down people's rights. Yep. Okay? So you have to treat this as terrorism because it's violence with a political purpose. That is the definition of terrorism. That's what he does.
This is the thing that's always bugged me. And the FBI... is like when the terrorism laws got put into place, the anti-terror laws about making terrorist threats, they started applying them to like bank robbers or just random gun crime. No. This is what those laws need to be applied to.
And this is white people
someone
doing
who is literally
if you want
beating
to pay,
down someone in the street because of their political affiliation.
Here's
or
the
because
thing.
Of their supposed... They actually got the wrong guys. Like, they weren't actually beating up Nazis. They
doesn't
just
matter.
Thought they were beating up their political opponents. It's fucking political violence.
It's
and
still
it's
political
terrorism.
Violence. It's terrorism. And here's the thing. If you want to pad your stats of white terrorism
add
to
this.
Compare to Muslims,
there
here
you go.
You go.
Yeah.
Here's the guys for you. Here we have white terrorist violence. Here we have white people
in before
engaging
in before
in
they actually include this. In before they actually
I don't
do.
Care. Well, the thing is, it's
well,
not
say,
causing
they,
death.
They say white supremacist terrorism, but in before they just start
yeah, they
counting
to white, be
white
supremacists. Yeah, well, if they just want to do racial, like here, they use white people doing terrorism, right?
Yeah. doing left-wing terrorism.
But so it's important to understand these people are terrorists. They're political. They engage in political violence. They're responsible for Heather's death.
I like how that wasn't planned. Came out.
Yeah, it didn't just come. It was planned, but it's fine.
You played it off good then.
Yeah.
It sounded like a slip of the tongue.
No, I'm not slipping my tongue anywhere near that.
No,
that wasn't planned. That wasn't planned. But anyway, yeah. So
do I have I want to combine the 300 pounds of soy with 300 pounds of roast beef?
Oh, Jesus.
That'd be a little audio editing I'll take on later, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you never know. You know how we always go to that diner we go to and I always get the same dish?
Yeah.
The hot open roasty.
The hot open roasty.
It's so good, that gravy in there.
It's very moist.
All that brown sauce is just dripping. Those flaps of roast beef just dripping.
And all that soggy white bread underneath it. Soggy mound of white bread behind it.
And the forest of broccoli on top. I just...
Yeah, like that. Like she's ever seen broccoli in her life.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Anyway. The point is that Dino... This is a serious point, so let me just do it. Sure. Dino Capuzzo, fucking FBI agent extraordinaire, crack FBI investigative officer Dino Capuzzo...
Anti-FBI.
...was told about these men. And so I think that his total refusal to do anything is in part responsible for this crime. You, Dino... could have prevented a crime against these Marine reservists.
God.
And you didn't.
I wish we just had somebody...
And you didn't. And you know why you didn't? Because you're a piece of shit from a fucking asshole agency that is anti-white. The FBI is anti-white. And you need to be fucking fully discredited. And you need to actually make up for it. Prove yourselves to us. Because I don't trust you. I don't trust the FBI. I consider you to be an agency that is working towards my destruction. And Dino Capuzzo... is exactly why, because guys like Dino Capuzzo pretend like they're trying to protect the public and they're protecting a political agenda, an anti-white political agenda. So fuck the FBI and fuck Dino Capuzzo.
I just wish we had somebody running the executive branch in this country.
Mother is very disappointed.
Who understood?
How did you face your family on Thanksgiving?
And would be.
Oh yes,
disposed towards doing something about it. I would just wish we had somebody in the Oval Office.
It would be
perhaps.
Great if we had like a hardcore
somebody that was like
right winger in the
take
office.
Take this problem on and see it for what it is. Because I just wish we had that. I don't know.
It would really suck if there was a guy that knew about it and didn't do anything.
Imagine, really, yeah, maybe made it.
Maybe
tweet.
I mean, maybe I could cover myself. Maybe he just doesn't know. But no, can't comfort myself with that anymore because he knows and he's not doing anything.
I mean, yeah.
And here we have Dino Capuzzo. Dino Capuzzo should probably lose his job, and I guarantee you, his family's not happy with him with a name like that, Dino. How did you face your mother on Thanksgiving, knowing that you're out there arresting these nice white boys and letting these terrorists go? How did you face
letting
her?
These thugs go?
Your mother's disappointed, Dino. Your whole family. You're a disgrace. You're a disgrace. Dino. Never gonna get over this fucking guy. Dino Capuzzo. I don't know. I'm pretty mad at him. I think, Dino's not doing too good of a job there. He's not fulfilling his
Who's
role.
Who's Dino's boss? Why did Dino's boss?
I think Rod Rosenstein. Is
why
his
was
boss.
It Dino's boss? Like, what is this? What is this PBS Frontline documentary? This isn't an affidavit. This isn't a fucking indictment.
Yeah, this is a. This
what
is
this yellow? What is this yellow journalism?
Why is PBS doxing people?
Or why is PBS being used as fucking evidence?
Yeah, why is biased political propaganda making it into PBS? Why is this being used as an indictment when this is clearly political propaganda combined with yellow journalism? It's really bad, and it shouldn't be allowed. And Dino should lose his fucking job because he's obviously a partisan.
What about
hack.
His boss's boss? Who's his boss's boss?
His boss was Jim Comey. Now who's his boss? I don't even know. Is it Christopher Wray? Now his boss is fucking Rod.
Who's Rod's boss? Oh,
right,
DJT.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy he's trying to engage in a political coup against is his boss, and he's not fired.
And he's not doing anything. He's like, oh god, I don't like the optics of stopping this coup.
Yeah, actually preventing myself.
The media who I've fucking successfully painted as the enemy of the people might start writing bad things about. Oh, they've been writing bad things about you the whole time. So.
Anyway, just keep doing nothing. I will say, if you know anything about the whereabouts of Tom Massey, go ahead and call Philadelphia Detective's Office, Detective Gercio or Palumbo, 215
Columbo.
Holy shit, Alex. I'm actually trying to give out serious information here. Can you stop?
All right, what's the phone number? One more question.
Detectives Gerson.
One more thing. Detectives Gercio Palumbo, 215-686-3047, all right? But I just got a couple more questions here.
What's the area code again?
Dino, how do you face your mother at Thanksgiving? Dino. A couple more questions. Who's that fat fucking guy with the beard? Who's that fucking guy? Tom Massey?
Who's his Twinkie friend?
Are we talking about the senator, or are we talking about the fucking faggot from Philadelphia? A couple more questions here. Who's this fucking asshole in a bike helmet? Who's...
Yeah.
The video's giving me a headache.
Yeah, you want to put up the video of these fucks instead? Of this mall shit? I think this gag has run its course. We did like 25 minutes of mall video.
You know what's run its course is this fucking... monitor's not working.
Yeah, his monitor's like... Here, I'll send you a link here.
It's like the wireless HDMI is confounded by all this video data being pushed through it for some reason.
I'll send you a little link here.
God, that was brutal. My eyes hurt from that thing.
Yeah, it's tough. Here we'll have some images of these fine gentlemen that we're talking about.
Just a couple more questions. Who's that fucking faggot in the bike helmet? See that guy? Who is this guy? Who's that guy? We need to find out who that guy is. Call Detective Palumbo. Let him know. Who's that guy?
There's your boys right
so
there.
So Keenan is on the left, Massey's in the middle, and the guy in the fucking asshole in the bike helmet. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows who that is.
I don't know. He's probably pretty tough to identify, given what he's wearing. But there's also some video. It's a Philly police video, but it doesn't show much. It just shows a little bit of them like being assholes.
I don't know if I can watch. I can't stand.
No, they're just walking around.
I can't stand the way these people are.
I hate them so much. They're terrible fucking people. But this is all like, yeah. So they assaulted, punched, kicked. And some people on Twitter were like, why didn't the Marines just kick their ass? I'm like, do you know what happens when you kick Antifa's ass?
You go to jail. Dino comes for you.
Dino comes for you.
Dino's like, political terrorists operating on the streets. I sleep. Yeah. Somebody defending themselves. Real shit.
Somebody fights political terrorists and he wakes up. Yeah.
Then he gets like the flashing eyes. He's like, somebody punched an Antifa. somebody defended themselves. From an Antifa, I wake. But yeah,
these guys are literal upper middle class privileged kids, aren't they?
Yes.
Look at these guys.
Oh yes, absolutely. There's no question. That's
the
where
clothes
they come
they're
from.
Wearing. Like that comes from like my mom bought me this for.
Look at this fat fuck,
dude. That way that those guys are dressed shows that they are from an upper middle class income strata.
It's sad,
as all Antifas are, and they're fat fucks because they don't have any standards, and they sit around and they smoke weed. But reading guns
that's
and
us.
Ammo. Yeah, that's us. But also the Keenan character runs the Philly Antifa Twitter, which has been dormant since the 17th, which I think probably about when he was arrested. They probably knew who he was and where he was before they put out this thing, and they want to know who the other people are. Anyway, I am hoping, and I know you were blackpilling on this. I'm hoping he actually goes down for this for a few years, and since he's a guy that has been doing this for about 10 years. He's a top organizer in Philadelphia. And remember when we talked about how Philadelphia is one of the top Antifa cities?
Yeah.
He's kind of the linchpin of that. So this guy goes down, this can be a big blow to the Antifa operation.
It would be nice if this would finally get, since the president hinted to having them on his radar last week, it would be nice if this was the case.
That we could use expand.
He decided, this is the one we're going to set an example for. Going to be the example of
I think
you
go further than that.
Okay.
You use this case as the launch pad for a full nationwide investigation of these people.
You not only put
Keenan in jail.
Yeah.
You get all Keenan's information, all of his contacts, everyone he knows, get him to turn that over, and then, you know, get those people to turn people over, and you roll the whole fucking thing up.
See, if I had this crazy idea that my guy was at the top of the administration right now, was in charge.
This weird idea,
The weird idea that I wanted to break the back of this whole thing, but I need something that like provides the impetus for it. It's like, oh, and here it is.
It's right here. You got it.
Break the back of Antifa nationwide.
Just yeah, and you can do it.
Stick a fork.
You can do it.
Down.
Thomas Keenan is a key organizer. He's been a terrorist for the Antifa for 10 years. He knows a lot of people. He's got a lot of connections.
Investigate.
He created violence in Charlottesville. He's created violence in. He's assaulted people of color.
Investigate who's working with him in the state, city, and local governments, just county government. Just find out who's pally with.
For info. You can get it.
There's some corruption going on here.
A lot of corruption going on here.
These people aren't just acting out.
And
they are being allowed to act out.
And you know where you're never going to see a story on this? On this APB out for these guys?
HuffPo?
Nowhere.
No.
You're not going to see it anywhere.
Nope.
You're not going to see any media pick up on this because they know these people and they're on their side. The level of journalism that would report on this kind of stuff won't because they're literally on these people's side. Accountability journalists. That's another thing I wanted to talk about with the whole Cindy Hyde Smith thing. Is they call themselves accountability journalists, but they're just corporate fucking toadies because they consider it a victory when they get
a nationwide HR.
When they get $1 million corporation to follow their own HR policy, that's a win for these people. They are literally free. They are literally unpaid HR workers for the biggest corporations on earth, where they go out and they examine your employees because the company itself can't really spy on their employees, but they'll do it for you. They're like unpaid HR contractors for $1 billion corporations, is what they really are. And they're also, you know, fucking violent criminals. Anyway,
all you would have to do is just put away a few of them publicly, and the rest of them would flee and scatter. They wouldn't do this shit.
Because, you know, and you also, what you want to also do is put away a few of them, but get them to turn on a few of their buddies. And then when it's out that, oh, people are turning people in, then it's all over. The thing is, if you had the wrong idea about it, I think you could grab one of our guys, pump him for info, and get him to turn other people over. The problem is, even if you could get him to give you a bunch of names, none of those people are committing any crimes. So what are you going to do to them?
Exactly.
You know, like you
could lock them up anyway.
Yeah, lock them up for literally nothing.
That's been the pattern thus far.
Yeah, lock them up anyway, even though they haven't done anything. So, you know, yeah. Anyway.
Should we talk about Gavin a minute?
Just for a minute, but I do have this New York Times article I do want to get to. It's really important.
Right, but I mean, like, it's still on the subject of political violence. Yeah. So the Proud Boys are white extremists.
They've gotten sucked. And Gavin has quit the Proud Boys.
Gavin has quit the Proud Boys. Gavin. Yeah. I guess shoving the dildo in your butt wasn't worth it, huh, pal? It didn't work out. And I just want to say, like, all the cucking, all the disavowals, all the disassociations.
It didn't work. Yeah. Now, Gavin did say in his announcement that he's doing what he is doing.
Yeah.
To help the defense of the guys, and
which makes sure it won't work.
Well, that's the thing. It's also
you can't announce the strategy.
Well, that's the thing. That's kind of what I'm wondering is because he makes a big announcement that he's doing it, and he says, "Oh, my lawyers said that this would make it easier."
Yeah, you're not supposed to say that though.
Now you've admitted that this is a.
You're basically saying this is a ploy.
You're admitting it's a ploy. It seems stupid.
But this is
it
like
doesn't,
the,
it doesn't
that's like the whole problem
with
the right in a nutshell. Like, we can't just have a plan and execute it. Like, you have to tell
everybody.
Everybody
has to tell everybody.
You have to put it on Twitter.
Everybody has to tell everything.
You have to have a fucking pinned tweet detailing what you've been doing, what you plan on doing.
And you
what
know
the
what's
strategy
funny?
Is for everyone
you know what's funny? And I hate to go into this kind of posting on our show. We get attacked. By guys, because we
why
don't,
aren't you doing it?
It's because we're just not telling you everything we're doing. Okay, like how about that? Like how about we just be satisfied with
which
the
is
fact
nothing.
That,
we're not doing anything.
At all.
Right.
Nothing. There's
polish
nothing.
Boots, that's all we do.
There's nothing that we're doing. No, but in reality, there are people that I have tried to help them get legal aid and things like that.
Yes.
And I don't talk about it because I figure that people can just like fucking understand. That like
nope.
but apparently if you don't advertise it,
yes.
if you don't go out and signal it, then it means you're
yes.
just not doing it and
because
you don't give a shit.
Gavin goes out there. I don't want everyone to think I'm a cuck for like quitting my own organization. So I'll lay out for everyone why.
Here's our legal strategy, illegal opponents.
Like I would
in a YouTube video, nicely packaged for you.
I would have picked up on what he's doing.
Yes.
Right. Because like
I would have understood what he was doing.
When the stories first broke, like Gavin McInnes is helping to arrange the peaceful turning in of the guys involved in that brawl in New York City. Like I understood why he was doing that.
I understand that.
That wasn't because he's not rolling over and handing them over to them. It's like no, he was trying to like
he's trying to make it better,
make it easier on them. So they say, hey, these guys aren't flight risks. They're not.
And
he's
also putting up money for their lawyers and things like that.
So you can see that without him having to spell it out for me.
Yeah.
That's not. I didn't mean to get into him for that, but I just meant like all these.
Into him for spelling it out.
There's that, but I'm getting into him for like the years also, of like the everything. Signal, you fucking French kissed fucking Milo on camera, and they still you're still a Nazi.
Ooh.
When is this gonna fucking stop?
Like, you pose naked with that. Who's that other guy that does the that black dude that does the show that did the show before Sam's show on fucking Adult Swim? He used to do a lot of Eric Garner jokes. Eric Garner,
Eric something, the Tim and Eric guy.
No, he's black. Tim and Eric Garner. Show title.
It's another good one.
It's another good one. We're not actually using any of these, but like
no, we're using Black Pill Friday.
So there's that guy. He did jokes about ranch. Really?
Yeah, I know he means.
You know what I'm talking about?
His name is Eric something. I'm pretty sure.
Gavin like posed naked with this guy at one point.
Perfect.
They did like a photo shoot where they're like shaking hands while naked. And I'm like, okay, really can I go great. Out on a real, racial brotherhood, I guess.
Can I go on a real limb here?
Okay.
Gavin backed out of Charlottesville.
Yes.
Dooming it.
Okay.
That was always my view.
Do you think he was the political cover we needed?
Yeah. I think that.
They all did. So did Stickman. But Stickman is like I think in legal basically trouble himself.
Gavin pulling out of Charlottesville created the situation where like what if the whole thing gets canceled now you just look like a bunch of losers and you like you know but and so that meant Soldier On were going anyway and that led to the disaster that came of it. I think Gavin Proud Boys Alt Light if it had been a giant like it was supposed to be Unite the Right Gavin supposed to be Unite the Right. You should have. It would have a whole different world if you guys had gone.
Yeah, it would have been. Well, it allowed them to take a small. They would have been called white supremacists.
But it would have been.
Sooner.
But it would have been a tiny little. Comparatively, I think the crowd would have been a lot
the
larger.
The crowd was huge. Actually, the crowd was very, very big.
I think it would have been tenfold.
Possibly. I don't think it would have been tenfold. I don't think it would have been tenfold.
I think it would have been a crowd that was impossible for them to pigeonhole the way they have and. Hunt down people and throw them in jail.
I got to counter signal you because they're doing it to the Proud Boys now. They're pigeonholing them as Nazis now.
Yes.
So why wouldn't they? They would have just meant that
they've been able
it
to,
just meant that it happened sooner.
They've been able to incrementally do it. I think
no,
all at once,
it would have just
been
meant that it would have happened sooner. They would have been labeled Nazis then, and it would have happened then. And I'm just telling you, this is my realistic assessment of it. Now I think though that what they should have done is sucked it up. Because you're going to be called Nazis no matter what. Yes. And that doesn't mean you be a Nazi.
Right.
Not saying that. Well, you have to stop caring about the label. Because when you care about the label, you do cucky shit like what Gavin did where you stand on a TV screen with a picture of a mixed race couple behind you to show that you are... Because the problem when you do that, Gavin, and I support a lot of moves you've made, and I don't support some moves you made, but the problem when you stand there in front of a... thing and argue against the rabid left and you stand in front of a mixed race couple to prove your virtue and it wasn't his family it was another family of some Proud Boy. Now you can like that guy and be friends with his family or whatever, I don't care. The point is you are acceding to their moral paradigm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And by acceding to their moral paradigm you're effectively saying I'm the real liberal here. Look at me, you're the one that's illiberal, I'm the one that's liberal. I'm the one that's nice to this mixed-race family. You're the one that wants to kill them. It's like a different kind of a DR3. And you are removing from the conversation that which needs to be said, which said, if this Proud Boy, and I'm sure that you have Proud Boys that are white and have white wives and children. In fact, I know you do. Why not put their picture up there? Why did you specifically sift through the Proud Boys to find the race mixer and put his picture up there next to your video? The reason you did that, Gavin, and you know, also know why one of the reasons Gavin backed out of Charlottesville? Because he wanted us to strategically have black speakers. He wanted them to strategically have black speakers, and people didn't want to do that because they were saying, no, that defeats the purpose of this. The purpose of this is for white people.
Right.
And mm-hmm. And if you really want to be politically incorrect, Gavin, do that. Don't do... I love base blacks. I love base race mixers. I love all these base people. We just like Trump, and hey, we're actually more liberal than you.
Let's own the libs by doing what they would do.
Yes, let's own the libs by loving black people more than them. That's what Gavin wants to do because that's an easy thing to do. It's what DR3 is. It's an easy thing to do. What's hard is to stand up for whites. And it's not to say that, like, okay, Gavin, I'm not saying kick that guy with the black wife out of your group. I don't expect you to do that. But if you want to be edgy, if you want to rustle feathers, that'd be a funny pseudonym for some Russell feathers. If you want to actually ruffle feathers, you want to actually make an impact, you've got to attack the prevailing morality, not accede to it. Mm-hmm. And when you put pictures of mixed race people out there as a shield, and everyone knows it's a shield, and they know it's cynical. That's the other thing. If I know it's cynical, they know it's cynical. Everyone knows it's cynical.
Is it okay to pose in front of this mixed race couple that I put up on the screen?
I don't know.
I mean, that's not a couple, but that's just...
What is that? Star Trek Next Generation over there on the left?
I don't know. That's that black guy with the giant neck meme. I don't know
next
who he is.
Generation, get it? Next.
Oh, Jesus.
The next generation.
Oh, next generation.
Yeah, see what I did there?
On the right, that's George Corpse Grinder. That's George Soros Corpse Grinder.
That's George Soros Grinder?
That's the neck from Cannibal Corpse right there.
Yeah. Anyway. I think everyone gets my point here, that the reason that my criticism of Gavin is that he refuses to actually break boundaries. Putting a dildo in your butt's not breaking boundaries.
Right.
Featuring mixed race couples not breaking boundaries. And, you know, you did break boundaries when you trolled that woman, Heather or Sophie Scholl, and you got her to admit that every kind of political setup she wanted was coming out of a white country.
Yeah. That was great.
That was a great troll. And that actually broke boundaries. That actually was red pilling to people. That actually was pushing the envelope. Gavin will say, he will say, sure, I don't like anti-whiteness. But Gavin, you're de facto anti-white because you won't defend white people. When it comes time to do a YouTube video, who do you put in the picture behind you? You put a mixed race couple. You don't put a white couple.
In context, though, where you could use minorities is if they come out and say, I'm speaking out against this clear anti-white bias.
Yes, you can show that you have minority allies that are speaking against anti-whiteness. That's a good political strategy. What's a bad political strategy is always putting them out there saying, look, I'm not racist, I've got black friends. Look, I'm not racist, I've got black friends. That's fucking retarded. That's buying into their paradigm. And in fact, Gavin doubles down because he says, I'm the one that really loves these people. I'm the true liberal. And that's all of what Gavin and Sargon and all those people do. They are out-competing the liberals to be the real liberal. And they're saying, because you're authoritarian, because you use force, because you have this dogmatic belief system, you're not liberals. And he's right. They're not liberals anymore.
Why don't you just be like, I'm not racist, but I have The Daily Show as my friends. I want to be friends, Gavin.
We could be friends. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know if that's going to ever happen. But, you know.
I'm just saying, like, what's the point?
There are,
like,
a lot of cool people in Proud Boys, I will say that.
I'm sure there are. I know. I've heard you say that many times.
Yeah. But anyway.
It's just like this whole thing.
I mean, that's a more powerful argument anyway. If you've got actual minorities coming out and being like, things are so bad that I actually think some of these Nazis may have a point.
They say that shit. That's the other thing. Everybody in Proud Boys is like galaxies more red-pilled. Now, first of all, we all know Gavin knows everything, right?
Yeah. He strategically cucks.
He says in that video, these white supremacist people don't even exist. Gavin, please. Please.
Please.
Please.
Please.
Please. You know.
They do, and there's valid reasons for why they would come to be.
Yes, exactly. And not only that.
Speaking of those valid reasons.
The minorities in your group. Yes, that's a great segue. But the minorities in Gavin's group, they agree with our politics. They don't like anti-whiteness because they like white people. And they don't like to see, they hate Antifa, they hate this fucking left-wing faggot shit, and they hate anti-whiteness. So they're more based than Gavin. Anyway.
Well, that's not too hard. Just don't put stuff up your butt. Yeah,
it's not actually hard. Don't cuck. Don't feature mixed race couples in your videos, and don't put shit in your ass. It's like, wow, check.
Yeah, low bar here.
All right. So the thing I wanted to get to, and here, I'll send you a link to this if you want to drag it up on the screen while I read it, is this New York Times article, Why the Announcement of a Looming White Minority Makes Demographers...
A Loomer White Minority?
No, well, a Loomer White Minority. There's not even a minority on Twitter anymore. It's literally non-existent.
It's Loomer Genocide.
Wow, that's going to be very, very triggering for her to hear that she was genocided. Oh my God! Thing. She hears that anyway. That's what her whole life is based on, the idea that she was genocided. Anyway, if she got genocided from Twitter, we should actually... And I don't know why, something with Muslims and inaccurate information or something.
I think she was criticizing female genital mutilation in the context of some Muslim that got appointed to a position somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
of course, it's a left-wing Muslim.
Well, the other thing is, now, I did see some people saying, now, I don't like really Laura Loomer's politics very much any more than anybody else does. Certainly, she's Jewish. That's kind of a problem. But I don't give a shit that Laura Loomer would ban me from Twitter, given the power to do so. In a world where Laura Loomer can't be banned, then neither can I. So I'm willing to live with, in the immediate term, her not being banned so that we all have free speech. That's the thing that I'm willing to do. And so her losing her, she's Jewish and she got banned. That means that they really don't want any, you know, they actually don't like the fact that she's got the politics that she does, which are cucky, Trumpy, civic nationalist, wow, these Muslims oppress Jews, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this is more important. Laura Loomer is not that important.
It was a joke I was making.
Sorry.
You're supposed to steamroll it. Keep going.
Oh.
When I said
we don't steamroll the jokey parts.
Loomer minority or whatever I said.
This is my joke on your jokes, is that when you want me to steamroll, I don't.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's good. Oh, it's a good meta. Like
it's
meta-troll.
Like a meta-troll, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. All right. I'm back on board. Okay.
So we have the announcement of a looming white minority makes demographers nervous. So let's just read through it and we'll analyze as we go. Washington. The graphic was splashy by the Census Bureau standards, and it showed an unmistakable moment in America's future, the year 2044, when white Americans were projected to fall below half the population and lose their majority status. Now, that year shifts around on this projection, but yeah, it's generally about then. Presentation of the data disturbed Kenneth Pruitt, a former Census Bureau director, who saw it while looking through a government report. The graphic made a demographic change look like a zero-sum game that white Americans were losing, he thought, and could provoke political backlash. Oh, so notice that's his, oh no, this is going to make people mad. Not that there's anything to be mad about.
Yeah.
But we can't tell people this because they're going to notice. So after the report's released 3 years ago, I remember when this report came out.
Now, wait a minute.
What?
How do you hide this from the public?
Well, just
like when you go into a fucking grocery store and you're the only white person, you kind of notice that.
Well, you notice that, but you don't know that you, in order to get the whole country's demographics, you do need the government's data on it, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't have the ability to do a census and know what the act, because it could just be your area, right? Like, I know, look, the thing is, I lived in an area where blacks were a large minority my whole life. They were always around. So I was used to large numbers of black people in public places, and I also knew where I could go to not see them. And where
a census taker once tried to pull my demographic decline. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice burrito.
Was that a Molyneux impression there?
No.
Hannibal Molyneux?
Yeah, Hannibal Molyneux. That's shocking. A nice burrito. I ate his goat cheese with a tikka masala and some nice... What's the other fuck? I'm trying to just think of foreign foods.
Okay, all right. So after the reports released 3 years ago, he organized a meeting with Catherine Wallman, at the time chief statistician for the United States. I said, I'm really worried about this, said Dr. Pruitt, now professor at public affairs at Columbia. Columbia University.
Statistics are powerful.
Yeah, the statistics are powerful. They are a description of who we are as a country. If you say majority minority, that becomes a huge fact in the national discourse. Or just a huge fact.
Just a huge fact.
Maybe it's just a big fact. Now, sure, it's a big fact. It's in the discourse. We're gonna keep, you know what, pal? You're not putting this genie back in the bottle. This article is mainly about this guy's attempt to put the genie back in the bottle.
You did
not
this.
In terms of the demographics, no. But in terms of us knowing about it. Doesn't matter. We know now. It's done. It's a huge fact, and it's in the discourse. So, in a nation preoccupied by... it's just a preoccupation. It's not like it's a major issue.
It's
preoccupied by race. The moment white Americans will make up less than half the country's population and become an object of fascination. The true statement.
Object of fascination.
So listen to this. For white nationalists, which is now white people...
Basically everybody.
Almost. It's now like 70% of white people, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 62% of white people.
Pretty much.
For white nationalists, it signifies a kind of doomsday clock counting down the end of racial and cultural dominance. Okay, fair enough. I mean,
We already don't have racial and cultural dominance.
We don't have the dominance, but it does feel like a doomsday clock.
Watch TV for an hour and a half.
It does feel like doomsday clock, but I want to talk about that a little bit if we have time after we finish the article.
It's more like knowing you're going to pass over the event horizon of a black hole.
Right. Like, you're already getting
sucked in. That's the point where reality pulls apart.
We're already in the paralysis stage where time's dilating because we're too close to it.
Yeah. But exactly. That's where we are. That's literally where we are.
Yeah. And other things are dilating.
We're like on the
Like a lot of dilation going on.
A lot of dilation.
Point.
Gavin
is being dilated.
The closer
right
we get
now.
Sucked to this black hole, the more dilation happens of all kinds of different things. Anyway, listen to this sentence. This is the killer. This is one of the kickers of the whole fucking thing. For progressives who seek an end to Republican power, the year points to inevitable political triumph.
Oh.
When they imagine voters of color will rise up and hand victories to the Democratic Party.
Is anyone not aware that that's been the plan all along?
There's a lot of people not aware, which is why I have to keep saying it.
Yeah. But I mean, like, this has been the plan all along. I've said this before. Remember, like, imagine being a stupid shitlib and your ideology sucks so bad that you have to import countless uneducated brown tribalistic weirdos into your country to fucking shore up your side of the fucking game.
But I like the admission that in talking about this,
well, it's not,
so-called progressives see it as a triumph to breed white people out.
But it's like they imagine. It's like, no, we have the numbers. They don't imagine. Like, it's literally going to be true.
But it's also, it shows that they see it as a moment of triumph.
Yeah.
So if they say that they don't, they're lying. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, they say that they don't, and then they immediately say that they do right afterwards if you continue the conversation.
They say,
why do you care about race so much? Well, here's why political things like power, this and that. Oh, you just don't like that you're losing power because you're going to be a minority. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
And it's wait.
They shift gears to
so
gloating.
So literally,
as soon as they
like,
can,
exactly the thing I'm talking about, you're now gloating about.
It's like, yes, like.
Exactly what I'm trying to prevent.
And then they shift to, like, oh, what kind of pussy are you? You don't want to be a hate minority?
You don't want to lose power?
You don't want to be at the bottom of the
minorities you treat badly?
Well, don't you understand don't you understand that it's the moral thing to give up power?
Jeez.
I learned this from Jesus.
Don't you want to learn what it's like to be at the bottom rung of the fucking social ladder politically?
No, and be treated like shit.
Yeah.
Because when we're at the top rung, we treat them like not we're nice.
I learned this from
Nobody
Jesus.
Nobody treats other races as nice as we do.
I learned this from Jesus, who I hate, by the way.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah. Oh, I hate Jesus.
Jesus sucks.
But he would have believed
his birthday party is a pagan holiday, and you're a cuck for celebrating it, you materialist consumerist faggot, by the way. Do what he says.
But also, like, I hope if I bring him up, you'll do what I want.
Yeah, do what he says, please.
Yeah. So anyway.
Right. I wish everybody held beliefs I could use against them, you know?
Well, no, that's on that. You know the only people, the only people that hold beliefs that can be used against them?
Us.
White people and Christians.
White Christians.
Yeah, white Christians, that's it. All our beliefs are used against us every fucking day.
Your entire Bible is filled with nothing but contradictions. By the way, please follow this one part that I cherry picked that leads to your self-destruction.
Ignore the other ones.
That part's not a contradiction. That part's
but
real.
But it's not. I don't believe it, but you
I
should.
Don't believe it. You should. You say you do, therefore you go, hey, you know what you do. Demographic displacement.
That's also, it goes back to the original conversation about activist judges. You know what you like to do? I do what I like to do. I like activist judges. You like principles. That's how it's supposed to work, right?
Make sure your abs are freaking ripped.
When you get stabbed by an activist judge.
For when the will of the people gets overturned by an activist in a rope. Yeah. Okay, my version wasn't as funny, but.
Yeah, make sure your abs are freaking ripped. When you stab with the Constitution. But when you don't, it's actually not going to hurt at all.
Oh, shit,
it's just
that
a piece of paper. It doesn't stab anybody.
What did I do with that envelope?
Oh, God. Oh, yes. Put him here. Put the little guy here.
I was afraid he was still
afraid he was still in the car?
I was afraid he was still in the car.
Still in the car.
We got a gift
from in the car.
Some fucking white male right here.
Here we go. We're a little white male.
I read the letter.
You please, say what you like says, to send.
It says, please protect him from Hand Banana. From Fash Gordon.
Hand Banana?
There he is.
Oh, my God.
Can we put him like... Can you like adjust
hand
it?
Hand Banana, no.
Yeah, Hand Banana, no. I want my name to be Spaghetti. There he is. There's Carl.
Can we put him on a little thing so he's like standing?
We're going to have... I think I'll stand him on my water bottle.
There we go. There he is. There he is. That works.
Now I can't sip.
Well, you can live it. You'll live.
Carl's like the 45-year-old boomer, right?
Ah! No! He just killed him.
He landed.
He's fine.
Conveniently right next to my foot. There.
So all right, there we go. So anyway. So, now I want to keep reading because this article just gets more and more interesting as you dive. As you deep in that, you move that, he's falling.
Okay. No, let's turn him so you get the... He looks better.
Semi-profile. Yeah, you need... Yeah, semi-profile is very good. Many academics have grown increasingly uneasy with the public fixation. They point to recent research demonstrating the data's power to shape perceptions, not reality. It's not the power to describe reality. It shapes perceptions. Some are questioning the assumptions the Census Bureau is making about race. I'm not. And whether projecting the American population even makes sense at a time of rapid demographic change. Well, maybe that's part of the problem. The demographics are changing so rapidly we can't actually make reasonable projections.
Demographics?
I think that's actually...
Let's just call them the demographs.
The Democrats. Yeah.
The Republicans.
The Democrats.
The Republicans versus the Demographs.
The Demon Craps.
The Demographs. Let's call them that from now on.
The
Demographs.
I like Demon Craps.
I know, I do too. With three Ks.
That's a very boomer
because
thing.
Because they're the real Nazis.
Exactly. Oh, I also want to diverge here. I want to diverge here for 1 second.
Okay.
Remember the conversation we had on Wednesday night with our pal? Who said he had been talking to some of his more, shall we say, normie Republican family.
Okay.
And in the private conversation, he brought up this stuff about the statues coming down. Mm-hmm. And his normie Republican family said, oh, no. We're not supposed to complain about that. What we're supposed to do is say that the KKK were Democrats and they're the real racists. And therefore, we don't defend the statues. Instead, what we do is we say those are Democrat statues. And the Democrats were the Nazis and the racists. And they said, and I said, okay, and I wanted to get it clear with him. I was like, wait,
there's not a blunt enough object for me to stab myself.
No, but wait. Do you remember the conversation, though?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, I had this conversation
I
with
our
buddy.
I liked a lot of beers.
Our buddy the other night, we were having this
I remember
conversation.
It happening. I don't remember the details.
And I slowed him down. I was like, okay, I want you to slow down and tell the story again. He's like, yeah, they told me that this is what they were supposed to say. And I was like, okay.
Where did they learn that?
Where did they get that, then? Who's giving them that instruction? He's like, I don't know. We were like, Hannity? Limbaugh? Who knows? Somebody. Neil Cavuto? You know, I don't know. But I was sort of like, it's interesting the phrasing there. We're supposed to. And I was
we're
like,
supposed
so,
to
so I was
that.
Like,
so you know you're wrong.
So I was like, do they believe it? And he's like, no, they don't believe it for a second. But they think they're supposed to say it. And I had a, because see, I don't have Republican family members.
I've never heard anyone say this before.
Do have Republican family members.
Yeah.
I don't. So I can't relate to this. I've actually never spoken to a normie Republican like one-on-one in person. That's not true. What am I saying? I have, but I've never pierced the veil. I've never, like, they've always only told me what they're supposed to say. They've never said,
they've never confided in me.
So I thought it was interesting the way he phrased it. And I wanted to make sure that it wasn't his phrasing. It was what, and he was like, no. They were saying they're supposed to say it. That's the argument you're supposed to make. And I was like, well, who's giving them this instruction? He's like, I don't know. I'm assuming something they're reading or something they're watching. And I was like, so
probably someone in a yarmulke giving that.
Yeah, and I was like, so they don't believe it. He's like, no, they don't believe it for a
listen,
second.
Listen, Graham.
That's what killed me when he said they don't believe it for a second. They just say it because they're supposed to say it. And that was black pill.
Black Pill Friday.
Because I was like, they don't believe it, and they still say it because they think they're supposed to. Because probably a Jew is telling them that's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah,
I mean, we know that narrative comes from Jews. Anyway.
Where's the Black Pill song? I was going to play it. I don't even know where it is. Black Pill song is one of those things I got to find it.
Yeah, like, I'm going to keep reading while you do that. Is that all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, let's keep going through this.
All right. So,
some
are questioning the assumptions the Census Bureau is making about race and whether projecting the American population even makes sense at a time of rapid demographic change and when the categories themselves seem to be shifting.
Mm.
Really?
So,
the categories of race are not shifting. They're not shifting. They're shifting in that new races are being created by weird mixtures. But that's... The rapid demographic change itself is the problem. Why do you change that? Why not just leave it as it was?
We had good demographics. We had the best demographics.
Yes, so here we go. Jennifer...
It sounds like... It sounds like the solution here is that you just don't record race anymore, so nobody will notice they're being recorded.
That's one thing that's been proposed.
Yeah, why don't we just not do a census anymore? So nobody knows.
Jennifer Richardson, social psychologist at Yale University, spotted the risk immediately. As an analyst of group behavior, she knew that group size is a marker of dominance.
No,
and that a group getting smaller could feel threatened.
Mm.
At first, she thought the topic of a declining white majority was too obvious to study. But she did, together with a colleague, Maureen Craig, social psychologist at New York University.
Oh,
now, these names are not immediately jumping out at me, but these universities sure are. And they have been talking about the results ever since. Their findings, first published in 2014, show that white Americans who were randomly assigned to read about the racial shift were more likely to report negative feelings toward racial minorities than those who were not. They were also more likely to support restrictive immigration policies and to say that whites would likely lose status and face discrimination in the future. Wow, imagine having an accurate assessment of reality.
This is called fragility, right?
And this is
the left's been telling them this for years.
That's the only thing. But it's also like, it's true. We all know that it's true. And they've also been saying it because there are leftists that say, we can't wait till you're a minority and we're going to fucking shit all over you.
Well, and they also tell you that minorities are naturally shit on. So when you become a minority, what do you expect?
Yeah, what do you expect? And they're like, oh, you're just afraid you're going to be treated the way blacks were. It's like, if I believed, a lot of people believe you when you tell them how blacks were treated, which is a lie. But if they do, they would be afraid naturally of being treated that way. So it's totally rational. So you can't use that as a gotcha because you said all these things. Anyway.
Yeah. It's like they're mad that you believe them.
Yeah. But the thing is, I don't just believe them. I believe my own fucking eyes when I look at how whites are treated in majority black nations.
This is a quote.
Which is far, far, far worse. Okay, you want to go ahead and say it?
It was like, oh, wow, these nerdy projections are scaring the hell out of people?
Yes, well, let's read the first thing.
Holy shit.
Okay, Mary Waters.
These nerdy projections. Wait,
hold on. Mary Waters, a sociologist at Harvard University, remembered being stunned when she saw the research. I was like, Oh, wow, these nerdy projections are scaring the hell out of people,
Holy
she
shit.
Said. Nerdy projections.
Nerdy projections.
Let's just, looking at data is nerdy. Okay, so here's the interesting thing. Beyond concerns about the data. Interesting how the whole thing is fighting a rearguard action against people and knowing and
people
understanding.
People knowing and finding out, yeah.
They don't ever say, maybe we should stop it.
No.
Maybe we should stop it because these fears are justified.
No, we've got to stop these numbers from getting out, delete the YouTube channel of everyone talking about
them. We need
them,
to delete our accounts.
Shut down the payment process for anyone reporting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody who's talking about this is a Nazi.
Yep.
And we'll put them in jail.
So.
It's pretty funny to contrast this versus the discourse on climate change, you know?
Oh, yes. And it's the same way. Remember we did the New York Times article a couple weeks ago about, like, please debunk this for me. And that was contrasted with climate change as well. Climate change, they're all over it. They want to put the data out there, and they want to tell you what's happening and stuff. Here and with the race stuff, they want to hide it. That's very interesting. That's how why I'm actually starting to not be so much a climate change denier anymore.
Because look at this data.
Because they're not hiding it from you. Yeah. When they really don't want you to know things, they fucking hide it from you. They put the climate change shit out there for everyone to see, so it makes sense that there's probably some truth to it. With this stuff, it's like the racial stuff, they lie, they hide, they obfuscate, they conceal. You know, they don't do that with the other stuff. They put it out there, and you can get it.
Mm.
Beyond concern about the data's repercussions, some researchers are also questioning whether the Census Bureau's projections provide a true picture. At issue, they say, is whom the government counts as white.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
What is Lawrence Fishburne going to do when the census taker comes to his house? What is he going to tell
This is
them?
Something I actually remember. I actually remember another. This article came out yesterday, but I remember an article where they talked about this before. Remember when we talked about this, of broadening the definition of white to make people feel better?
Mm-hmm.
So they say, in the Census Bureau's projections, people of mixed race or ethnicity have been counted as mostly as minority, demographers say. This has had the effect of understating the size of the white population, they say. As many Americans with one white parent may identify as white or partly white. Well, partly white, sure, but not white.
Yeah, right.
Or on their census forms, Americans can choose more than one race and where they are of Hispanic origin. Among Asians and Hispanics, more than a quarter marry outside their race, according to the Pew Research Center. For American-born Asians, the share is nearly double that. The shayless. It means that mixed-race people may be a small group now, around 7% of the population, according to Pew, but will steadily grow. Are those children white? No.
No.
I'll answer that right now. No. Are they minority?
Yes.
Are they both? What about the grandchildren? No, what they are is what they are. They are half Asian, half white, half black,
they
half white.
They are a mess. Congratulations.
They are a fucking mess that will be confused and have emotional problems their whole life. Great job.
They are future school shooters. That's what they are.
This is the problem you've created by doing this to our country.
And I have sympathy for them because they didn't ask for this weird existence.
That was why
you forced them.
Remember a long time ago, the episode of which we do not speak?
Yes.
That was exactly my attitude about not knowing to do. It was like, he didn't choose this. And he came out, that whoever that guy was, being whatever mix he was, he chose to identify with his white side and not be some shitty brown person. That's what he wanted.
That's what he was saying. But he also
I just had sympathy for that.
I had sympathy for the guy.
I felt bad about it. that.
No, I felt bad about the whole thing.
Yeah, that was why we faltered a little bit there. Right. But it was but I was like, he literally chose none of this. Like the Jews did this to him.
Yeah.
Jews told whichever parent of his was white to get with one that wasn't white.
Well,
that
here we go, dude. Here we go. This is white presenting nationalism.
All right.
The question really for us as a society is there are all these people who look white, act white, marry white, and live white. They don't look white.
That's usually the thing. Yeah.
They also don't.
They may look
act
white in the way white. They in the way they dress.
They're talking about white presenting here.
They may have like annoying like millennial.
The other thing is this. Okay, well let me just finish. The question really is: all these people who look white, act white, marry white, and live white. So what does white even mean anymore? This is where this all begins. Dr. Waters said we are in a really interesting time, an indeterminate time when we are not policing the boundary very strongly. Well, that's for sure.
I would like to.
That is absolutely for
sure. I'll police
it. And we want to police it. But the other thing is this whole. This is not like what is white. This is like the deconstruction of whiteness, but they're not attacking it as a negative anymore. They're saying, look, people are aspiring to be this or they're acting like this. And they admit that white is a way to act. Think about that. They admit that white is a way to be and act and also as well as
a race. They're trying to say that's all it is.
They're trying to say that that's all it is, which is also where the other thing that they're missing here is that those people of other races that do act white, so-called, they get viciously attacked by their co-racial.
Yes.
Because they signify, they present, white presenting is something. Remember we did the whole thing about white presenting with Black Girl Dangerous and how even though she herself is white presenting because she eats like fucking fruit pecan ice cream and shit, hipster fucking bullshit crap. She does all that. She loves all this hipster Brooklyn shit. So she herself presents white, but she attacks white presenting blacks.
Yeah.
And that's her spiel. So it's like, there's so much. Oh, Jesus, Carl can't take it anymore. We black-pilled Carl too much. He just fucking threw himself off the fucking water bottle. But you're not getting out of it that easy, Carl. You're in this with us. We're not trapped in here with you. Anyway, let's keep going.
Let's just get Carl a shotgun and save ourselves some time.
The Census Bureau has long produced projections of the American population, but they were rarely the topic of talk shows or newspaper headlines. Then in August 2008, the height of Barack Obama's campaign for president, the Bureau projected that non-Hispanic whites would drop below half the population by 2042, far earlier than expected. The projections, which change with birth, death, and migration rates, have also placed a shift in 2050 and 2044. They actually shifted. Oh my God,
who
the fuck
is this guy?
This looks like a Jew.
Richard Alba.
Sociologist at the City University of New York.
CUNY!
He's a Jew in spirit, if not in fact, but I think he is a Jew. Although that could be an Italian name, but whatever.
Looks like fucking Palpatine.
Yes, he does. He does. That's what really lit the fuse, says Doa Myers, demographer at the University of Southern California, referring to the 2008 projection. People went crazy.
Yeah, I remember Conan O'Brien's crowd cheering for it. They were gleeful at the projection.
Yes, I remember. I remember.
I wish I could find.
Really...
That. I can't find. I could never find that clip on YouTube.
Dude,
but I was.
Dude, I love it that it's like. Remember Joe Biden, an unrelenting wave of immigration. You know, European whites for the first time are going to be in minority. It's going to be a beautiful thing. It's like
what sort of beauty is that?
What kind of beauty is it? But also, what other people are expected to sit there and clap and do it? Like that's the thing that scares me about white people. What other people are asked to clap for that and do it?
Imagine cheerfully going into the gas chamber. Imagine being happy that like Auschwitz.
The
scourge of our own people is going to be removed from the ice. Finally, Germany will be free. We should embrace this change, this demographic change in which God's chosen people go to be with him and we leave the earth.
This is where you almost start to think that like middling intelligence might be a social maladaptation because the groups that are stupid, too stupid to get these Jewish narratives and applaud their own death. Are like literally, you couldn't get blacks to applaud their own death because they're too stupid to understand the kind of complex narrative you would have to you would have to absorb in order to cheer that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, I don't think a group with middling intelligence would be targeted for this. The problem is we're too smart. We're a problem, right? It's like, if you had a group of middling intelligence, why would you need them?
I consider most white people to be middle of the road intelligence, and they're the kind of people that
distribution
clap for
them.
Like the really dumb white people don't, and the really smart white people don't. But it's middle of the road white people that clap for this shit because they're the ones that about 100, 110, 100, 120. But it's really 100, 110 tier whites are the ones that clap for this shit, and that's because they just believe everything Jews say because they're not smart enough to they're smart enough to get the narrative, but they're not. I just figured that swath
is like isn't really paying attention.
Well, but to the extent they're paying attention, they'll cheer.
I thought you have to have a certain level of wits where you think you're even smarter than you are. Well, you definitely
the people that believe this think they're smarter than they are. And that's part of it.
Like you have to have a level of intelligence to even get to that.
Remember when we used to do Twipple Down?
Yeah.
Swipple Down, where you get the lower tiers of like adopting the Swipple value.
Because
everything becomes cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, as economics.
Ooh,
Alex's
boots are done. Yeah. Yay.
Those are my wife's boots.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, what a cuck.
We have two.
Shining his wife's fucking boots. Holy shit.
She's supposed to be sewing a patch in my uniform, so it's a trade.
Right.
Wow.
All right. So I want to keep going with this.
Yeah. Yeah, hurry it up.
That's what really lit the fuse at Dole Myers, a demographer for the University of Southern California, referring to 2008 projection. People went crazy. It was not just white nationalists worried about losing racial dominance. Dr. Myers watched as progressives envisioning political power became enamored with the idea of a coming white minority. He said it was hard to interest them in his work on ways to make the change machines less threatening or fearful to white Americans. For instance, by emphasizing the good that could come from immigration. It was conquest, our day has come, he said of their reaction. They wanted to overpower them with numbers. It was demographic destiny. This is fucking really interesting. So you tell anti-whites this, and instead of saying, well, let's figure out a way to get along.
No.
They say, no, let's fucking stomp the boot on harder.
Finish him.
And that's actually funny. So Dr. Myers was like, whoa, easy.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Myers is probably Jewish. Myers can often be a very Jewish name, and given who he is and where he works, if you think about it,
you only have to hold off that kind of enthusiasm until you don't have to anymore,
that's
right?
That's right. Like, you only have to hold it off for 10, 20 years or so,
yeah,
right?
Like, then it's like, all right.
Then it's like,
all right,
now let fly. Yeah.
Go ahead.
You do that.
You do now.
Dr. Myers and a colleague later found that presenting the data differently could produce much less anxious reaction. Of course! Remember, we did this already. We actually...
Anxious.
This is actually literally... It's literally the study we already talked about, but that's fine.
That's fine.
We did this, I don't know what show, but like 20, 30 shows ago, we already did this. Yeah.
Still fine.
They won't.
Go listen to all.
Or they won't. It doesn't matter. Presenting the data differently can produce a much less anxious reaction. In work published this spring, which we went over this spring, they found the negative effects that came from reading all about white decline were largely erased when the same people read about how the white category was in fact getting bigger by absorbing multiracial young people through intermarriage. But the thing is, they're not emphasizing that multiracial marriage stuff. What they're just saying is, no, actually, white people are getting bigger.
I guess they never mix, huh?
Yeah, I guess they never mix. I guess they never mix, huh? You got a mulatto. I guess he never mixed, huh? Mixed stuff. Yeah, all right. No, we got it. Now we get it down. They never mix. They never bix. Huh? Whatever.
Steal your car like, what rhymes with Wiz Khalifa?
Wiz Khalifa. Steal your car like Wiz Khalifa. I'm sure he steals cars.
All right. I mean, allegedly. Is this satire?
Yeah, it's all a big joke. It's unclear exactly when the idea of majority-minority crossover first appeared, but several experts said it may have surfaced in connection with the 1965 Voting Rights Act. No, I mean, maybe it was another 1965
There's another act in 1965.
It's funny they don't even mention it. Miss Wallman, the chief statistician for the United States from 1992 to 2017. Whoa, how's she in there for so long? Who helped develop the first government-wide standard for data on race and ethnicity that came into use in the late 1970s, said she did not like having it categorized by race, but the government had to for oversight. I wish we didn't have to ask, she said, but to me, that's the rock in the hard place. Race is difficult to count because unlike income or unemployment, it is a social category that shifts with changes in culture, immigration, and ideas about genetics. This is all so interesting. There's so much. Oh, my God. There's so much here.
Shifts? We're going to do this now. What counts as white?
So who counts as white has changed over time, blah, blah, blah. Let me just finish reading to get to the good point.
No, it hasn't.
So I want to get to the... Let me just skip ahead here. So...
Oh, my God damn it. Frank Boas, really? Really?
Yes. They bring up Boas, who has been proving to be a liar. So we'll put the link to this in the description, which we will.
Alex is
doing the description, so he better
put
the
link.
I'll send it to him. Okay, so let's just go to the end. So this is all them like talking about how do we talk about these statistics rather than changing our immigration policies and our demographic policies.
How do we make sure this goes off without a hitch?
Yeah, exactly. How do we calm people down about this? So the important thing to understand, we say this a lot, but every dynamic could be someone's show, and this is the most important talking point I want you to bring back to people. Demographics are not only destiny. Demographics are policy. So these demographics are changing in our country, not because of some natural force that's irrepressible or some wave, some unrelenting wave that's just happening. It's a policy. And it's happening because we changed policy in 1964.
No, it's a wave, all right. It's a Jew
wave.
And
before 1964...
I'm sorry. It's a Jew wave.
Before 1965, we had a different policy. And then mm-hmm. we had a mm-hmm. a supermajority white country with a black minority. And I could have lived with that. A lot of people could have lived with mm-hmm. that. Because mm-hmm. you can mm-hmm. actually... You can deal with the black problem. You can. But we now have... this whole crazy demographic shift, and we have it's not just blacks; it's people of all races and cultures. It's considered we have diversity lotteries, diversity visas. We have everybody that's not white is considered morally superior to anybody superior. They're considered morally superior to those that are. We have this whole thing. So along with the in order to do the demographic shift, they also have this ideological shift towards anti-whiteness, all this stuff. But the point is, it's a policy. It's a government policy. And therefore, it can be changed with another government policy. If you're moving thousands of millions of people to get whites, make them a minority, you can move thousands of millions of people to move it back. Okay? And if you're willing to, I remember how they talked about how in this one study, they're talking about how, oh, this, they literally want to combat white majorities. They look, and when they remember when we were talking about the refugee people, the people that place refugees, how they have detailed maps of the countries in the United yes. States and Europe, and they use these to select refugee places.
That's how you get Somalis in Idaho.
That's how you get Somalis in Idaho and in Minnesota and in North Dakota mm-hmm. and these places where they don't belong. And both in terms of population and in terms of climate, they don't belong there. So that kind of level of demographic planning is going into eliminating white majorities. That level of demographic planning can go into creating white majorities too. And it's not evil. If it's evil, then they shouldn't be doing it either. If they say planning a demographic situation in a country is evil, well then what are you doing? What you're doing is evil because they're planning it. They're not building a wall because they want these people coming across. They have legal aid foundations to move them all over the country to change the culture and voting patterns of different parts of the country, which is something they openly confessed to after Donald Trump won. They openly confess, we need to get these people into Kentucky. We need to get these people into West Virginia. We need to get these people into those states that are deep, deep red and not changing. So they are demographic planning the downfall of the white race and our ability to project our will politically on purpose. So if that's evil to do, then they're evil.
I just had a black pill revelation of my own sitting here.
Okay.
While you were talking.
Here we go.
As a EMS provider, what I'm basically doing here is presiding over the extinction of the white race. Every code I work is one less white person, and there's one more Mexican
Please
to replace
play
them.
The black pill drop.
It didn't really occur to me until now. Is.
I didn't look it up. That's pretty terrible.
All right, well, I'm blackpilled.
Blackpill Friday.
Blackpill Friday. We didn't really want to do it.
I'm the conductor on the train of extinction for whites.
Let's not fool ourselves. We always knew this was going to happen.
That's an early morning demographic buster here at the.
So let me read the last. Let me read the last few paragraphs of this, and then we'll analyze them and go and get out of here. So William Fry, demographer at the Brookings Institution, argued that the Census Bureau was doing the best that it could at a time when society was changing quickly. He was skeptical that today's Asians and Hispanics were analogous to the white ethnic Americans. Leave it to this guy. The Jew at the Brookings Institution is the one who, actually, I don't know if he's Jewish or not, but Brookings, you know, were analogous to white ethnic Americans of the 20th century and believed that a less conservative count would not do much to change the bigger picture. So he's got it right. Besides, it is not the job of academics to protect people from demographic change, he said. I'm not asking to be protected by an academic. I'm asking to be protected by the fucking president.
You're trying to protect the... No, it's the academic's job to protect the demographic change from stuff.
It's his,
from getting any ideas.
No, that's the thing. He considered it his job to protect the change, not protect people.
Yeah.
It's the president's job to protect the people, and he's failing. Irrespective of the year or the turning point, the message needs to become about what the actual facts are, Mr. Fry said. We are becoming a much more racially diverse society among our young generation. Others say they are not sugarcoating statistics, but showing that the numbers have many interpretations of the white versus everyone else is only one. It not only reduces the American patchwork to a crude, divisive political formula, they say, but perhaps more important, with the categories in flux, it might not even be true. Bullshit. It is true, and it is white versus everyone else. Because that's not just the thing, and we didn't create that. They created that. William Fry knows that they created it. He's just doubling down on it.
The white supremacists are American citizens.
Exactly. We are.
They have to alter that drop.
The Census
it's like
Bureau.
The white supremacists are merely American citizens at this point. They're just white American citizens.
The Census Bureau released new projections this year in March filled with data about the country's future. In the coming decades, adults 65 and over will outnumber children for the first time in the country's history. The share of mixed-race children is set to double. But there was no mention of a year when white Americans would fall below half the population. When asked about the change, spokesman for the Bureau said, it was just getting back to sticking to data.
Wonderful.
But that is data. The year in which you project whites to be a minority, or a plurality rather, or less than the majority, shall we say, because we might not even be plurality, we might actually not be a plurality. Mm-hmm. At some point. At some point we won't even be a plurality. At the moment we're 49.9%, we will be a plurality, but we might not be a plurality after that. That's data. So what you're actually doing, that change is political. The whole article is about how that change to the census reporting is political, and it is political. It is political. William Fry doesn't like it because William Fry is one of the boot-on-neck people who's like, William Fry likes it.
Mm-hmm.
He's with Brookings. He fucking loves it. And he's like, no, these people aren't white. No, when you try to tell people, but I'll give him credit for honesty. He's like, look, if you try and tell people that Hapas and Mulattoes are white, you're a liar. Because they're not.
Based.
But also then he's like, no.
Did he
but on top
of
that, it's a great thing that they're not. No, but he's right, but
know,
he's saying it's a good thing. He's like, no, they're not. That's why we want more of them.
Yeah.
So there's your...
All right.
As usual. And see, when they print things like this, and then you get people that say that we're like hallucinating or we're insane or there's something wrong with us. No, they look at this article and tell me there's something wrong with my politics. There's not. And this whole, I want to reiterate the final point because this is a very powerful rhetorical point.
Well,
it's a policy. If making one race superior or one race not in power anymore through the use of politics and demographic policy is a bad thing, then they're bad people.
Mm-hmm,
if it's not a bad thing, then we can do it too.
Well, the implication of the article is it's not that this isn't happening. It's your attitude about it is what's problematic.
Yes, obviously.
Your attitude, like, you're fragile. Like, what's wrong with you that you don't want to lose power? Like, it's never...
But they themselves admit that there's a whole contingent of people out there that can't wait to step on our necks.
But they're looking at it as a partisan struggle between two parties in a political system. They're not looking at this as like
life and death,
like an entire race of people is who had power won't anymore. Like they're saying, like
there's also an assumption there's no value to whites. So nothing of value is lost.
Well, it's also like they're denying that there are power relations between people,
which is postmodernism.
Yeah. Like there are, but they say there are none because, because the only reason
they have
the only reason being a white minority would suck would be if there were power relations that they always say that there are. That are the reason that white people suck is
the power
relations.
There
so
are
it's
power
like
relations.
Therefore, so it's like which is it? But it's like
you know who else denies power relations?
Oh,
Jordan Peterson.
Well, I mean, I don't know anything about him.
But the thing is, they're switching into a kind of individualist type thing.
Yes, Jordan Peterson is like you're fighting against a collective non-white group, right? You're fighting a war against an idea, a group that's based on identity, and you're fighting it with non-identity.
Well, that's
right. Like that's what I mean. That's,
no, but here's the thing. Think about Jordan Peterson, postmodernism.
Oh God.
Think about that in the light of this article.
Yeah,
who is the best friends of the people in this
article
that are nervous
Absolutely.
About white people getting pissed
Absolutely.
About this data? Jordan Peterson is their best pal because he takes white people and he's like, no, don't worry about it.
Come
identity
here.
Doesn't mean anything.
Come here and cope. Come with me and cope.
Yeah, he says, no, individuality is everything. Identity doesn't mean anything. And therefore, this data is irrelevant
to you.
Do
you know what Jordan Peterson's entire fucking relevance is? His entire contribution to like
the way he says
discourse?
Postmodernism.
No, it's because he at some point said that there were only two genders.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
That's where everything came out of.
Everything came from him like
I remember that. I remember a few years ago when he did it and I was like, who is this asshole?
That's all he's built this entire brand around that, this Patreon, and he just has nothing to say.
Well, that ties together too, because one of their critiques
he just copies Mosh
performative.
Yeah. He's like a whiny Stephen Whiny new.
No,
like
it's funny because
this article gets into that performative whiteness thing, and they do the same thing with gender. They say gender is, oh, well, you just, it's performative when you, when you're a man, you, you decide you're going to be a woman. You're performing being a woman. And of course, the immediate question is, well, why are you doing that? What do you get
what
out
the hell's wrong with you?
When you when you're dilating, like what gender are you performing there? Like, which performative?
Because women don't do that. The same thing with this argument.
Women
too.
Don't like do that.
The,
women don't dilate their pussies because they're natural. They belong to them.
The demographic thing here, and then saying that it's performative to have that social power, so these barbarians are just trying to clutch for the social power. That's the performative whiteness they're trying to do. It's literally power.
God, we did some long shows this week. We should take next week off.
Yeah.
We should.
We should just,
not do a show next week.
We're hitting like 90 minutes here for hour two.
All right, well, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's go to the mall.
Go to the mall.
You want to go to the mall?
I ain't going to the mall.
I don't want to go to the fucking mall.
I don't feel like going to the Mos Eisley Cantina right now.
Oh, no, I want to lift into my shoulders.
I don't even want to lift. But I'm
like somebody said on the last show, is like Borderlands is actually the population of the United States right now.
See, I don't get that joke. You
would if you played Borderlands.
Yeah, but I don't, because I'm not a loser.
I played Mario Kart 8. I don't know.
Yeah. I haven't even played that.
It's a good game.
Looks sort fun. I like watching
200cc sucks.
I like watching your kid play it. It's pretty cool. But other than that, you know.
I was playing against him this morning. I put the controller down and just jumped in the shower this morning. I was mad. It just fucked me over so bad. It's like 200cc. Like
at least
game,
you put it down.
Like the game doesn't. Yeah, I didn't. I've grown up so much. I didn't chuck it at the TV on my way out of the room.
Very
it's like,
mature.
It's
I'm
like
very
the
proud.
Racing doesn't just
very
get harder. It's just like you just get fucked harder by the guys behind you. Whoa! Wow! Sorry.
Oosh! Woof.
I mean, like you get
wow.
Hit, you get hit with more weapons.
Wow!
You get like blue shells. You get red shells. You get zapped, and you get the squid ink. And you're fucked. It's like, oh, you're in second. Now you're in ninth. Oh, you climb back. You clawed your way back up to fifth. Here's another fucking squid ink. Now you can't see. Now you're in eighth.
Yeah.
Have fun. And your fucking kids just ride them like, hey, daddy, it's not about if you win. If you have your fun, shut up, you little bastard.
It's not about winning. It's about having fun.
Yeah, I'm not having fun because I'm not winning.
I'm not winning is fun, so it is about fun. You're right.
Always give your best.
Take care, guys.
Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember, others may hate you. Those who hate you don't win, unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.
Escuché aún el eco de su voz. Adiós, mi general, adiós. Quiero cerrar filas otra vez en ese ejército que invicto comandó y que mil glorias a la patria le entregó. Adiós, mi general. Adiós, la página que hoy día se cerró, se abre ya la historia como ráfagas de sol, justo en el umbral donde se encuentran los valientes, los que se atreven, los que jamás se han de olvidar. General, adiós. El grito que en Chorrillos se escuchó. ¡Viva Baquedano vencedor! Y que del pecho del soldado se escapó. Adiós, mi general, adiós. Solo soy un ciudadano. Que deudor de su grandeza y sencillez, hoy vino a despedirlo Don Manuel. Adiós, mi general, adiós. La página que hoy día se cerró, se abre ya la historia como ráfaga. orgasm de sol, justo en el umbral donde se encuentran los valientes, los que se atreven, los que jamás.